Informational Kit, 800-912-1515. That's 800-912-1515.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station. K-Talk, AM 630, KTKK, Sandy, Salt Lake City. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. Memorial Day ceremonies across the country are honoring the nation's war dead. President Obama laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns, calling attention to the troops still fighting the war in Afghanistan by sharing part of a letter written by a Marine's mother.
She said, "Please don't forget about my child and every other Marine and soldier over there who proudly choose to defend their country. A mother's plea. Please don't forget."
Senator John McCain slipped into Syria today to talk face-to-face with Syrian rebels. The Arizona Republican is the highest-ranking elected official from the U.S. to visit there since the Civil War began. In Britain, a 10th arrest has been made in last week's killing of a British soldier. Four of those arrested are still in custody, including the two men accused of killing the soldier with knives on a street near a military barracks. Two were released without charge. Four are out on bail. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama will visit the revitalized New Jersey coastline tomorrow. Overall, the storm caused $38 billion in damage. NBC's Stephanie Gosk says while business is booming on the boardwalk at Seaside Heights, it's not business as usual for many homeowners.
You had 350,000 or so homes that were damaged and destroyed, and thousands of people are stuck in this rebuilding limbo. They're either waiting for insurance money or they're waiting for new regulations on how they should rebuild their homes, or some people just simply don't have any money at all to rebuild them. It's a complicated story.
And tomorrow, a federal appeals court will consider whether to make morning after birth control pills available to all women without limits on how or to whom they're sold. In April, a federal judge ordered the government to make the contraceptives available to all women without a prescription and without sales limits. That order is now on hold. Pete Williams, NBC News Radio.
What's going on? You're too young for menopause. So why are you suffering from hot flashes, fatigue, weight gain, and insomnia? It's true, you are young, but your problem is hormonal imbalance. It can happen at any age, and there are millions of young women just like you. But you don't have to be miserable. An incredible 82% of women with symptoms of hormonal imbalance feel great using Herbal Equilibrium. Its exclusive formula was developed by doctors to relieve even your worst symptoms. And right now, you can get a bottle free. Not only is it guaranteed to work for you, but when you call today, you'll learn how you can get a 30-day supply of Herbal Equilibrium free. Call 1-800-770-0128. You're too young to suffer like this. Claim your free bottle and get your hormones and your symptoms under control. Go to herbal-e.com. That's herbal-e.com. Or call 1-800-770-0128. That's 1-800-770-0128.
Golfsmith and TaylorMade want to help you give Dad the best Father's Day ever with exclusive deals on the hottest gear in golf. Give the game-changing TaylorMade R1 driver and get $50 instant savings plus a $25 Golfsmith gift card. Save $100 instantly on any 8-piece Rocket Blades iron set and score a $50 Golfsmith gift card, because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day only at Golfsmith.
You were told to install illegal software on company computers. Does this really hurt anyone?
This is not a victimless crime. I understand. The economy is tough. Things are hard all over. But I've worked with program developers before. I have seen what it takes to produce great software. They need the financial support of the people who are using those products.
If your company copies software illegally, report it confidentially to BSA, the Software Alliance, and you may be eligible for a cash reward. Go online and input nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
Tune in on Sundays at 4 p.m. to learn the latest cutting-edge science of health with your hosts Hugo Rodier, MD, and Gary Olson, DC, on the Integrative Health Show, sponsored by Pioneer Comprehensive Medical Clinic in Draper. Our country is suffering from poor health due to nutritional, environmental, and stress problems. Learn how to address these problems and not rely on symptomatic treatments that often have too many side effects. The Integrative Health Show, Sundays at 4 p.m. on KTalk AM 630.
$3 Carpet and Draper is now hiring salespeople to offer our unique line of high-quality carpeting at very low prices. Most of our carpet comes from large, high-end trade shows and conventions and would normally sell for around $12 per yard. But we offer it back to the public starting at only $3 per yard. Our conventions held around the country use new carpet for each show. And after only 2 days of use, we roll up this beautiful never-stretch carpet and offer it back to the public at drastically reduced prices. We offer a great selection, and our customers love us. We offer sales and lead support with very generous commissions. Go to $3carpet.com and call us at 888-968-1913. That's 888-968-1913. You can work full or part-time to be part of our exciting ground floor opportunity. Call 888-968-1913, Monday through Friday, or go to $3carpet.com. That's $3carpet.com. Good selling.
AM 630 K-Talk, the voice of Utah, proudly presents Drive Time Live. Real people, real talk. Now the dean of talk radio, Mills Crenshaw.
306, welcome back to Drive Time Live. It's Memorial Day, and we've got lots to talk about. Later in the day, we will talk about the observance, what's going on in this crazy world of ours, and there are a lot of ups and downs. But to begin the day, I am pleased to welcome back Daniel Johnson. Daniel, welcome to K-Talk.
Thank you. It's great to be back here.
Since we last talked on the air, you've done additional research and you found some interesting things pertaining to the Mayan culture and a lot of things that relate to LDS doctrine as well.
That could be said, yes. I think most things relating to the Mayan culture are very interesting. And, you know, every now and then you come across things that do seem to mesh with LDS doctrine and scriptural things. And so I'm always fascinated in exploring that and in sharing that.
Well, let's start with a fairly common topic, and that has to do with ancient evidence for horses. I was pleasantly surprised to have Professor Jones, formerly from BYU, who's mostly famous for his comments on 9/11. But he apparently was headed the head of a group doing research on evidence for horses. And tell us what you found.
Great. I've actually communicated with Dr. Jones. And he has sent me some unpublished papers that he's worked on and some results of carbon dating that have been done on various horse samples that have been found. And when I was I spoke about this at an archaeological conference here in Salt Lake last year. But what I find is interesting about the whole topic of horses is that obviously in, let's say, the 1830s, 1840s, everyone knew there were no horses here before the Spaniards arrived. But every now and then, when fossils and fragments were found, there would be horse remains. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, who was a great collector of these fossils, and you can still see his collection today, had some ancient horse remains and fossils in his collection. But because everyone knew there were no horses here, those were kind of ignored and not talked about. It wasn't until 1848 that finally it was scientifically accepted that, yes, there were horses here, but that, of course, you know, died out at the last ice age or long ago. Well, that date keeps getting pushed back later and later and later. And this is by, you know, reputable scientists, not crackpots and not people that have any affiliation with the LDS Church. But that's just what, you know, the more data that comes out, the later and later that line gets getting pushed back.
Specifically, what have you discovered?
Well, you may know that I enjoy traveling in the areas of Mesoamerica. And I've been to the Yucatan Peninsula a couple of times. So they're easy. It's easy to get around the area. They're beautiful sites. And a lot of work has been done in that region. There are a number of caves in a certain region in the Yucatan Peninsula that have been explored, and scientific work has been done on them. Specifically, there's one called the Loltun Cave. And a lot of work has been done there to find evidence of ancient habitation, ancient animals, and so forth. This would be in the late 1800s and 1900s and not too long ago. But excavations have found bones of horses, bones of mammoths, bones of large animals. This is the Yucatan Peninsula. So if they're up there, they, you know, not just can't be just there. They must have been all over. What's interesting is from the stratigraphic research that I've come across and presented last year was where these horse bones were found. And in fact, it was a surprising thing that in the articles written about that, the scientist writing said something happened here which is hard to explain because he's finding horse remains much, much, much later than they're supposed to be. They're finding them mixed in with pottery. They're finding them much higher up than they thought that they should be. So he even wrote that, you know, we may have to reconsider when horses became extinct because these new findings are kind of, they don't fit in with what we used to believe.
How much later?
How much later? Well, that's kind of a good question. The information I have, of course, when you do this type of excavation, you do levels. And each time the ground changes, they kind of they number it, and it goes down and down. So in a level between level 7 and 8, they did carbon dating of charcoal found from those excavations. And that was carbon dated to about 1805 BC with an error of plus or minus 150 years. Well, horse remains were found much higher than that, which would mean much later than that period. So that, you know, 1805 BC, there's supposed to be no horses alive at that time. So we're finding that they're at higher levels. So the lower down is the later stuff. The higher up you go is the more recent stuff. So that's something right there. And Dr. Jones has been working with a number of experts, including some in Mexico, to carbon date horse remains from the Yucatan Peninsula and from North America.
Interesting. By the way, when I started, I forgot to mention to the audience, this program's live. We're live from K-Talk today on Memorial Day. So if you have comments or questions you'd like to make, you're more than welcome to call. I don't have a producer today, so be patient with me. I will answer your calls, and we'll take you on the air in the order in which you call. Telephone number, 801-254-5855. All right, you also talked about some new developments in the Mayan region. What specifically do you have in mind?
Well, there are things that are always going on. I think what a lot of people don't know is that there's so much work that could be there. There are so many sites that are still there that are hidden, or people know where they are, but there's just not either the resources or the infrastructure to really get to them. I kind of wonder what would have happened if we had things like that in our country. You know, how much would we discover and develop them and really research them? So there's a lot of stuff that has been going on. The stuff I'm thinking of is actually kind of sad, kind of negative. One that is not so recent is that there's a major river. There are two major rivers in this area, but one is called the Usumacinta, and it actually separates Guatemala from Mexico. It is the border. And about 10 years ago, the Mexican government was drafting a plan to build a dam on that river to create hydroelectric power. Well, this actually was going to threaten 18 very little known Mayan archaeological sites in that it would have just completely submerged them and destroyed them. So this is the type of stuff that kind of happens there, and it was really saddening. Now, that project, I believe there was enough uproar that it didn't actually happen, but it easily could have. More recently, in the country of Belize, this was just discovered earlier this month, there's a site called Nohmul, and it has origins that date back to 300 BC or earlier. And one of the largest structures there is a construction crew that's building a road, and they're actually using backhoes to demolish this very large pyramid at the site to use its stones and rubble as gravel to put to backfill and build the road. So they're just destroying it.
That's tragic.
That is very tragic. And it is on private land, but law in Belize says that all these sites should be protected. So they're looking at a prosecution for this and going after it. But the end result is that one structure has practically been destroyed by bulldozers and backhoes.
Just to build a road?
Yes, to create rubble and gravel for the road they're building.
And it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, once that's gone, it's not coming back.
No. Interesting. You talked about evidence for horses, and that's, I think, very interesting. But you also mentioned before we went on the air that there is now ancient evidence for plates. Now, when we talk about gold plates, we're talking about items that were used for communication that had intelligent writing on it, not just decorative plates?
Well, not necessarily. In fact, this is not new, but I can talk about this. There was, many people may know the site of Chichen Itza. It's in the Yucatan Peninsula. It's got the Temple of Kukulkan, which is one of the most famous ancient Mayan sites or structures visited by millions of people. It's also a great place to go. It's very easy. It's a wonderful place to be. But there's a sinkhole. The Yucatan Peninsula is filled with sinkholes because it's actually just limestone, and they're underground rivers. So periodically the ground will collapse, and you'll have this entrance to this watery underground, if you will. This was a very sacred spot for the Maya, and they actually would build their sites around this. So it's called the Sacred Cenote, or sinkhole, at Chichen Itza. There was a guy over 100 years ago that he heard all the stories of people throwing sacrifices and items and artifacts down in there. And so he went and dredged it up. For the Maya, they believe this was an entrance to the underworld, a place to enter and commune with the gods. So he believed the stories and actually recovered many items from the sinkhole. He just went down there in a suit and dredged things out and found lots of things. He was working for the Peabody Museum and actually shipped everything out, went directly to that museum. This was actually unknown to the Mexican authorities, and when they found out, they confiscated his estate at Chichen Itza and kicked him out, but not before he had sent everything he had found there. So what's interesting is that the Peabody Museum has almost the best collection of Mesoamerican artifacts outside of Mexico. But among those things that he found were gold sheets and plates and discs that had been thrown in as sacrificial offerings to the gods. Now, these were Mayan items, and so they come from a much later time period than we understand from the Book of Mormon. But there are some of them that have figures and scenes carved into them, and there are some of them that have actual Mayan glyphs carved into them as well. So it is writing on them. Now, this has been known for over 100 years, and they currently are in the Peabody's archives. They're not out on current display. But a number of years ago, I was able to arrange a research visit. One of my co-authors and I went there, and they led us into the archives. We had to put on white lab coats and gloves, and they went back into these sealed rooms and opened up vaults, and they showed us all these items that are there. Fascinating things, wonderful to see. We got to hold them. We got to see how thin the gold was. Some of these things are labeled as a gold alloy, so there's something else alloyed with them. We got to see the pieces that actually have Mayan hieroglyphics carved on them. And we took photographs, but because of the agreement we had to sign, we couldn't use those photos for any type of commercial purpose. Any type of photo of that, we have to actually purchase the rights through the museum. But in our current book, which is an LDS Guide to the Yucatan, we do tell about that and do have some photos of these items. They're the official photos from the museum. But it's a fascinating thing because all the stuff that I talk about, all the archaeology, completely unknown in early Mormon times. No one knew anything about it. I've actually done further research into the idea of writing on gold plates, and that actually appears to be a Middle Eastern old world practice. In fact, the oldest book ever known that actually has leaves of that you can turn and has pages is made of gold, and it's about 600 BC. And that's in over in the old world right now. It's an Etruscan book. But all these things we know now about gold plates, and there was there's
how,
more finding out.
How are these books bound together, interestingly?
Rings of metal. Yeah, so it's interesting that the oldest known book is made of gold. It's actually 24 karat gold.
Hmm.
But 500 BC, 600 BC, that's where a lot of these things date from. And so I've done a lot of research on that and found that these were very important items. In fact, the oldest known biblical fragments are on tiny scrolls made of silver, so very thin silver leaves or plates. And there was I wrote an article and did some research last year about there was a guy in Israel claiming to have books made of lead plates bound together, that he had a whole bunch, and there was a lot of controversy about that. But as it turns out, they probably were faked, modern forgeries. But it's interesting that, you know, why would someone now start faking books which are metal plates bound together? That's, I think it's becoming commonly accepted to where now the forgers are getting in on the act.
It's fascinating. I once read somewhere that gold is the only known metal that can be hammered so thin that it can just an ounce of gold can be spread out over a huge area.
And it is a remarkable metal, and I think that's why people for thousands and thousands of years have really thought it was pretty neat and wanted to do things with it.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show. We're live on Memorial Day, and your calls are welcome. 801-254-5855.
Hey, this is Dan the Dan the free phone man from PC Laptops. Are you sick of dropping calls with your current cell phone carrier? Do your phone calls suddenly sound like this? Or you're like, hello? Hello? Has it been a couple years since you've upgraded your phone? If you answered yes to either of those questions, hurry and see us at PC Laptops, your Utah Verizon authorized wireless retailer. Come in and pick up a free top-of-the-line Lucid by LG phone. This phone is so amazingly fast and easy to use, it'll make your head spin. So run into any PC Laptops location right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. Remember, that's PCLaptops.com, your Verizon authorized wireless retailer. At PC Laptops, we love you. New 2-year activation required per phone upgrade, early termination, other fees may apply. PCLaptops.com. We love you.
Finding the perfect gift for your mother can be difficult. Prices Guaranteed Doors has a few suggestions that are sure to make her happy and will last a lifetime. How about a new front door? For only $3.99, get a new fiberglass front door, complete with frame, new threshold, and doorknob. Or how about our ultra-quiet Genie Garage Door Opener, completely installed, including tax, for only $2.99. Or you could get her a new insulated garage door, installed for only $6.99. That's a 16x7 door for only $6.99. Lots of styles and colors to choose from. And remember, for only $39, we can make her old garage door work like new again with our $39 lube and adjust. For mom's sake, call today, 975-7575. That's 975-7575. Prices Guaranteed Doors, home of the Lifetime Maintenance Program. We provide service from Ogden to St. George.
Here's the in-your-face reality. You're listening right now. You're listening because the show is compelling, involved radio that's difficult to tune away from. And if you're listening, so are your potential clients and customers. The only thing missing is your commercial calling our listeners to action. Dynamic, affordable growth for your company is a phone call away. 253-4883. When we answer...
Thank you for calling KTalk Radio.
Say...
Hi, I'd like to advertise...
We'll take it from there, and you'll love the results. Call KTalk Radio right now. 253-4883.
AM 630 KTalk.
AM 630 KTalk. Grab your phone and make the call. Drive Time Live with Mills Crenshaw.
I'm talking to myself. It helps to open the mics. Sorry about that. My blunder. Welcome back. You're listening to KTalk AM 630, Utah's talk radio. It's live on Memorial Day. I know quite often on these holidays the station plays recorded programs, pre-recorded programs, but not today. We're here live, and my in-studio guest is Daniel Johnson. He is a researcher into all things Mayan, and he is making a return trip here to the Mills Crenshaw Show. Daniel, it's interesting because Mayan culture was a major topic right up to the supposed end of the world.
Oh, yes.
And then once that date passed, yawn.
That's right. Like all the others we've had before.
Yes.
Well, actually, in our latest book, An LDS Guide to the Yucatan, I have a chapter about that. And that was actually written before 2012. So that book was being finished up in the end of 2011. And so I was writing about that, certainly believing that the book would come out and everything would be fine. But there's a chapter that goes on to describe the Mayan dating system, how their calendar works. It was really fascinating. And I took my information from a guy who is really one of the greatest experts in this field in Mayan archaeology today, David Stewart, working from one of his books. And I researched what he did, and it was did great stuff. But the whole idea is that the way the system works is there are all these cycles of time. For the Maya, time was cyclical. And so there were larger cycles and there were smaller cycles within there. And what happened was, at this date, December 21st, 2012, according to our calendar, a very big cycle was going to end. But what happens when a cycle ends? A new one begins. And so the Maya had this system of smaller units to bigger units to bigger units to bigger units. So a way I like to compare it to is like the odometer of a car. One little unit goes over, flips to zero, the next one starts going. The difference for the Maya, their numbering system was vigesimal. It was based on 20, not on 10. So you'd have like 10 count of something, and then it would flip to zero. They're among the first ancient cultures to actually come up with the concept of zero, interestingly enough. And then the next one would start going up. So what happens when your odometer reaches 100,000? You have 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. What happens the next day? 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0.1. And that's exactly what happens after that date. The Maya did not expect the end of the world. In fact, in the anciently, they would calculate dates out to be thousands of years past this 2012 date. So they weren't worried. They didn't write a whole lot about it. Any reason for anyone to be worried, and like all doomsday prophecies, we see that nothing much happens.
Yeah, a minor exaggeration.
Well, okay, minor. But the things people really expect, the end of the world doesn't happen. Stuff does happen, but, you know, it could be avoided.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
All right. Any of you have questions for Daniel, you're more than welcome to call in. 801-254-5855. And yes, we're live on this holiday. So your calls are more than welcome. tell me a little bit more about a new site that's been found in Guatemala.
New site. Well, I guess I wouldn't say that it is a new site. It was kind of new to me, but it was one of the more recent places that I visited. Again, a lot of these sites that aren't necessarily being found that recently, but sometimes the work is very recent. So this is a site in central Guatemala. It is called Canquen, and a couple of years ago it was in the news because there's a very well-known archaeologist now, Arthur Demarest, who is doing work there. And what they found was in a suspected water hole, they're doing excavation work there. This actually is a really beautiful site. You have to take a river, a boat down the river to get to it. It's a really neat place, a very special place for the Maya. But they found some skulls and human remains. Of course, they were ancient, and they start excavating, and they find more, and they find more, and they find more. And it got to be so much, they actually contacted a forensic department in Guatemala City to come down and help out with this because it was looked like an ancient mass murder scene. Well, that's really what it was, an ancient mass murder scene. So they excavated the place, and they found out that this water hole is actually not natural, but it's an artificial construction. And they find all these members of the royal family of that site who had been murdered, and not just like a sacrifice, but just a murder, stabbed in the back of the neck, bashed in the skulls, and then in all their finery, just tossed down into this area. Very kind of unusual thing. And so they reconstructed more of the history. It appears that this site was attacked. Whoever attacked it murdered all the ruling class, men, women, children, and then just left them in heaps on the ground. In this place, they tossed them into this place here. Well, as they excavated it out, they find it's a completely man-made structure built in with stones, but it has a natural fresh spring that fills it all the time, and it has steps going down into it. The Mayan archaeologists began to call it the Royal Pool because of its close proximity to the royal structures at that site. And they think that whoever murdered the royals, the elite class at this city, was actually trying to desecrate this, that it would have been a sacred area, and that the enemies were trying to desecrate it by murdering the people and tossing their bodies in there, and also to put an end to its use. The archaeologists believe that it was used for perhaps ritual washings and cleansings of the elite of that city. They've even compared it to the Brazen Sea at the Temple of Jerusalem. So I've actually been to the site and walked down...
A baptismal font, in
well,
other words.
Well, I hate to say it, but when you see it and you see the two steps going down into it, that is exactly what it looks like. Now, I know that many Mormons find places at sites and they say, oh, it looks like a baptismal font. This is one where the non-LDS Mayan experts are saying that's practically what it was. It was a place of pure, clean water where the elite did ritual cleansing and their enemies wanted to desecrate it and put an end to its use.
Do we know what time period this was?
Yes, it would be around the end of the Mayan classic time period. So we're looking like 800, 900 A.D. Almost all the stuff we talk about as far as when we look at these sites with the history that we know is from that time period. The stuff that is what we call the pre-classic, which is 250 A.D. on up to, you know, B.C. and beyond, much less is known about that because we have much less as far as artifact and writings and remains from that time period. So we know most about what we consider the classic and then the post-classic, which is when the Spanish eventually arrived. But that's the one place I found like that where, you know, I've been there, I've seen it excavated, I've seen what it looks like, and I've read what the Mayan archaeologists have written about it, and I can say that's practically what they're saying.
And roughly how many bodies did they find?
It was somewhere in the nature of like 20, 30.
So this was a major event at the time.
Yes, it was a major thing. What happened was this site had defensive structures on it, and it appears that when it was attacked, it was a brutal attack. That people were just murdered, left in heaps on the ground. The place was burned and just destroyed. What's also fascinating about this site is that it was kind of a small site for the Maya and didn't have any big major pyramids. So for a long time, it was believed that it wasn't very important because it didn't have the giant pyramids of Tikal. Well, if you might know, the Mayan pyramids represent mountains. They wanted to put their temples at the tops of the mountains, so if they didn't have any, they would build an artificial one. The actual pyramid itself is just the mountain for the pyramid to sit on, for the temple to sit on top. Well, this site here at Conquin in Guatemala had natural mountains around it. So, as the archaeologists would say, it had the real thing, so it didn't need to have the fake mountains. So the mountains were very sacred to the Maya, and Maya would come from all around to this place because it almost was like a pilgrimage. And it had mountains, and it had caves under the mountains, and had the river running through it. Mountains, caves, and rivers were some of the three most important religious symbols to the Maya. So whatever group of Maya attacked this city really wanted to put an end to what was going on there, I think.
Any clue as to who the attackers were?
Well, at that time, I mean, all we know is that the Maya fought constantly among each other. There were many different little kingdoms. There was never an empire like, say, the Inca or the Aztec had. They were never united. There were individual little polities, or what the archaeologists call them. Each one had its own king, and the larger ones would group together and create alliances to fight against others. So the Maya fought, and they warred all the time, really. In fact, there were two major sites. One is Tikal. Most people know about Tikal in Guatemala. Tikal had a rival, which is a major site called Calakmul, just over the border in the southern part of the Yucatan Peninsula. In fact, we have a great chapter on Tikal in our latest book. Beautiful, beautiful place. But these two cities were sort of like the reigning superpowers for, say, 500, 600, 700 A.D., and they fought constantly for centuries. We're talking massive, massive warfare, where they would each, you know, try to gain advantage over the other. So this is what's known now. It's kind of interesting because for much of the 20th century, the major expert in Mayan archaeology, who was, you know, the one voice of what happened, kind of thought that it was sort of a utopian, peaceful society. Well, now we know that they warred just as much as anyone else.
How well understood is Mayan writing? You know, I've heard differing stories. Where people who claim to be able to decipher almost all of the Mayan glyphs Some people would say, they're phonies, they're just making this stuff up.
Hmm.
How well understood is that?
Well, according to the Mayan experts, they're known as epigraphers, it is fairly well understood. And there are dictionaries on it, there are books about it. There's a great documentary called Cracking the Mayan Code, which talks about how that happened. The way it happened was actually, I think, fairly interesting, because up until about 1960, nothing could be read except for some calendrical signs and numbers and dates and things. But again, the great expert of Mayan archaeology, his name was Eric Thompson, he believed that all these writings and monuments they had, they weren't real history. He said it was probably just esoteric religious writings and that they didn't write down history. Probably there was no real person's name ever written down. Well, there were a couple of people that started to work on this. One was a Russian. His name was Yuri Knorosov. He did all his work from within Russia. This was the 1960s, so his work, of course, was not really appreciated at the time. But there was a Russian-American, a woman who was born in Russia but grew up in America, named Tatiana Proskuryakov. She was really considered one of the great figures in the deciphering of the language. She worked at a very remote site called Piedras Negras, which is on the Usumacinta River on the border of Guatemala. I've been there. It's a very remote place, very beautiful and neat to see, but no one ever goes there because it is so remote. But she began deciphering and working on the monuments there, and she would notice two glyphs. One she called the toothache glyph, because it looked like a profile with a bandage wrapped around it, and one she called the upended frog glyph, because they didn't really have any names for them. But she would notice that she would see one glyph and then see a passage of years that was about a human lifespan, 70 years or so, and then the other glyph. And then she'd come across that again and again. Her thought was, I think these glyphs are talking about birth and death, or the ascension to the throne and then the death of a king. That's what she thought by her work. And this was, again, in the 1960s when she was coming to this conclusion. But because that contradicted the overwhelming view of the time, especially the one guy, Eric Thompson, it was really not accepted for quite a while. It took a long time for them to realize, hey, these are real people. They've deciphered these glyphs now, and it actually is talking about kings being born and ascending to the throne and getting married and having children and having wars and conquering and the cities they conquered and the captives they enslaved and then when they died. This is all propaganda, really, but it's historical transcription from the certain king's point of view or on these monuments. So that's commonly known and accepted now, and a lot of work is being done on this, but much of the stuff by the real experts can be read fairly easily, and that's what it talks about. The fascinating thing, of course, is the Book of Mormon talks about a large stone that was found that told about one king named Coriantumr and the things that he did. Completely unknown, of course, in 1830, and would not have been accepted really until after the 1960s, when we finally found out, yes, it is real historical writing.
That's fascinating.
Yes, and Tatiana Proskuryakov was... she was cremated, and her ashes were buried at the top of the Acropolis at Piedras Negras. And it was sort of a personal pilgrimage for myself. I wanted to go and actually find her gravesite, and I did. And there's a marker there for it because of her love for that area and all the work she did. So great work is being done, and really expands our understanding.
Now, are the Mayan people still extant?
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, they were there when the Spanish arrived. They are still there today. There are various different groups. There are Highland Maya in Guatemala, there are Lowland Maya, there are a very unusual group called the Lacandon, which tend to have long, straight hair, and they wear white robes for some reason. There are the Yucatec Maya in the Yucatan Peninsula. And for a long time, they were considered, of course, kind of second-class citizens, and the Mayan culture was not really encouraged. In fact, there was a Spanish priest, his name was Diego de Landa in the 1500s, he was the bishop over the area of Yucatan. He, of course, tried to convert the Indians, the natives, to Christianity. We all know what that means. And when he found out that they were going back to the old practices, he started with basically an inquisition in the Yucatan. And he found and took and destroyed all their writings that he could find. So because of him, only four Mayan books, known as codices, exist. He destroyed everything he could find. He smashed all the carvings and idols, and he said it was all the work of the devil. Really caused great distress among the people. But ever since then, the idea of the Mayan writing and the Mayan language has been lost. It had to be rediscovered. People would actually stop speaking their language because it was looked down upon. Interestingly enough, there's another controversial figure today we know as Mel Gibson. For all of his craziness, one thing I do like was I was very pleased about his movie Apocalypto, which actually was quite controversial for its depiction of the Maya. But then how many movies like that do we have? I thought it was great to have a movie that, you know, somehow showed that.
But how accurate was it?
If you ask the archaeologists, not very accurate. I think that its little pieces were all kind of accurate, but how it all was put together, the overall view is not very accurate. I kind of liken it to how accurate are the cop shows we like to watch.
Okay, fair enough. We're talking with Daniel Johnson. We'll be back in just a moment. And if you have questions for Daniel, the telephone number 801-254-5855. Yes, we're live on this holiday.
What would you do for an extra $1,000 a year? Cut hundreds of coupons, shop the sales, maybe get a second job? What about just refinancing your mortgage and dropping your payment by $100 each month? I'm Alan Blood, president of Capital Financial Group Mortgage Services and the host of When Wall Street Meets Main Street, the Friday Real Estate Edition. On our show, we talk about how to make the money you put into real estate work for you. I've helped hundreds of Utah families put their money to work and reduce their monthly payments by taking advantage of the current near record low interest rates. As a local independent mortgage broker, I'm able to help my clients get the best possible loan and save hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars every year by refinancing. Whether you're looking to just reduce the rate on your current mortgage or maybe even consolidate other debt by refinancing, now is the time to start saving money. Call me, Alan Blood, at 801-298-5887 to find out how much you can save. That's 801-298-5887. Isn't it time you started saving money? Call me today to find out how much refinancing can save your family at 801-298-5887. NMLS number 3146.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's prime minister during World War II. But did you know that after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Bombay House in Parley's Way and in Provo has been enjoyed by Utahns for over 20 years. There's a new Bombay House in West Jordan at 7726 South Campus View Drive in the Jordan Landing Shopping Center. Look at the menu at bombayhouse.com and then enjoy a delicious dine-in or takeout. I've enjoyed the Bombay House experience since they opened 20 years ago. I love the food and the people at Bombay House, and you will too. Bombay House is the cuisine of India and provides a family-friendly atmosphere and is especially good for date night. Bombay House is award-winning and Zagat-rated and is open 4 to 10 Monday through Saturday. Seafood, chicken, lamb, and vegetarian specialties provide a tasty choice for everyone. They even have vegan and gluten-free options. Bombay House in West Jordan opened recently to provide a unique and flavorful alternative for your dining pleasure. Bombay House again at 7726 South Campus View Drive in the Jordan Landing Shopping Center. Call 801-282-0777 or visit bombayhouse.com for dine-in or takeout information. That's 801-282-0777 for Bombay House in the Jordan Landing Shopping Center.
We want to hear from you. 254-5855. AM 630 K-Talk, the voice of Utah. Drive Time Live with Mills Crenshaw.
Welcome back. My guest, Daniel Johnson, and we're talking about Mayan culture, among other things. You were in the middle of a discussion. Please continue that.
Oh, well, thank you. Basically, we were talking about the movie Apocalypto, and for all of its faults, I mean, it was a fun action movie, but we know how realistic action movies are. The one thing about it, you might recall, was that it was all spoken in a Mayan dialect, and it was with subtitles, which, of course, is kind of a bold move to take. The language, there are many Mayan languages. The one chosen, I believe, was Yucatec Mayan. And for some reason, there are archaeologists that had a problem with that. But one thing I would say is that because of that movie, and because of the working down there and getting local people and all that involved, there has been a greater resurgence and interest among the Maya in the area in their history and in their language. And there are now courses being offered in the ancient Mayan languages and in the writing, and they're getting interested in going back and learning their where they came from, their culture. And so I think that is a great thing, because for too long that's just been squashed down they were tried to be destroyed culturally.
Was Quetzalcoatl Aztec or Mayan?
Well, it depends kind of where you go with that.
I know there were many Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah, there were. It depends on the name. Quetzalcoatl is a Nahuatl word. Nahuatl is the language the Aztecs spoke. The Maya had a name for him, which was Kukulkan, which is feathered serpent. In Guatemala, his name was Gucumatz. And the Inca had a name for him, which was Viracocha. So you'll find different names which are from the languages or areas that are specific, to certain places. But they all are have some similar characteristics. Now, there were many Quetzalcoatls or Kukulkans throughout the history, and it appeared that many kings liked to take that name upon themselves because it gave themselves more power or more renown.
Was there an historic figure likened unto the Lord?
That becomes hard to say if you look at what the Spanish were originally writing down. There appears to be a lot of similarity there. That the original Quetzalcoatl was more divine than the warlords who came after. That he taught peace, that he taught medicine, that he taught literature and the arts, and was trying to do away with any violence, and that he healed. So there is even a deity in the Yucatan Peninsula known for his healing hands. So I think the origins are shrouded in mystery, but I would say it's possible. But so much of that history has been destroyed where we'll never know for sure.
My understanding is that when the Catholic priests came in with Cortez, they did everything in their power to destroy the artifacts and memories of the original inhabitants' religions.
Well, I would say not just Cortez, but anyone. I had a history teacher in high school. I hope this will do her good. Not that she's listening. Who knows? But she taught that the Spanish came for what she called the three G's: gold, glory, and God, in that order.
Yes.
And that's kind of what they did. But I have a very personal belief that that's what they tried to do, is to culturally destroy the inhabitants there so they could supplant their own culture. We see that the Nazis did it with book burning. We see that the Khmer Rouge tried to destroy all the past history and start over with a year zero and create their own new society from scratch and ignore everything that had gone before. In fact, the ancient inhabitants of Mesoamerica did that to each other. Sometimes when kings would come to power, they'd often destroy the monuments of the previous king and put up their own. Many monuments were actually, with writing, were destroyed anciently, not even by the Spanish, but anciently by their own enemies, so we don't know what they said. So this idea of destroying someone's record to supplant your own history happened all over. And, of course, we know the Book of Mormon mentions that as well.
So there should be no shock or intrigue over the fact that the name Moses doesn't appear on any monuments in Egypt.
Well, I mean, I still believe in the Bible, regardless of that fact. So, it would be nice. I mean, I think it's only been, there's one example of the name David being found somewhere in the Middle East, and they aren't really sure if that is the David or not. There's just so much has happened and so much has been lost that we just, don't quite know. I think the difference is between, say, Mesoamerican archaeology and Middle Eastern or Old World archaeology is we've had a lot more time to work at it. There really was no such thing, Mesoamerican archaeology, before the latter half of the 19th century.
What do you see as the future? Everything been found?
Oh, well, we know that's not the case. As an example, when I was at Tikal, and Tikal is a wonderful site. It's probably one of the easiest sites to get to in Guatemala, and it's a great place to visit. You can actually enter any time, day or night, as long as the armed guard comes with you. But the common saying at Tikal is that about 20 to 30% has been uncovered and excavated, and the rest is just out there. So, and that's amazing because that's one of the best known, most major sites in the country. And so things are being found all the time. And sites where they knew there was something, they're finding new things. They're now using satellite imagery. It's amazing just how dense the jungles are. That would just cover up anything. Most of these jungles were actually cut down and burned away by the Maya themselves. They deforested huge areas in order to create the building materials for their cities and for houses. So the jungle comes back very quickly and covers things up. Something even fascinating is that in recent years, excavation work has been done at Chichen Itza. This is a place that is probably one of the best known in Mexico. I've been there several times and walked along the main areas and climbed the Temple of Kukulcan when you still could. In recent years, they found out there's stuff under there, and they've actually started to dig up that ground and excavate and find new structures there. Stuff that I had no idea was there. I walked over there, and it was all covered up. But I found amazing pictures that have been posted of the work that we're finding under the ground. So it'll never be done. There's always something new to find there.
You mentioned satellite photography. As I understand, ground searching radar has shown that there are just a multitude of very large structures in the jungle that have been previously totally unknown.
That's very true. I mean, I've been to sites where you can stand and look out and you can see just mounds poking up for the jungle. Everyone knows that there's something there. There's just not the manpower or infrastructure or money, probably, to go and make it happen. The looters are certainly very busy, and they're finding all kinds of things. They destroy, sadly, much of the precious knowledge because all they're looking for is stuff that will bring the money. It can be a very dangerous business. But some of the really great finds just a few years ago, very ancient Mayan murals at a location called San Bartolo in Guatemala were found through looters' tunnels. The archaeologists found looters' tunnels, went in and found things, the murals that the looters had missed. So there's new stuff going on, and I try to keep up on what I can. There's not much that I can do, but I wish I could be a bigger part of it. I just find it fascinating that all the stuff can come to light, and frustrating that so much of it doesn't.
Talk about doing things that are part of this. You actually are putting together a cruise adventure in the Book of Mormon lands.
Well, I'm not putting it together, thankfully, but Cruise Lady, which is an LDS tour group, is doing that. So they, of course, do tours to places all over the world, do tours to the Holy Land, and they'll do Book of Mormon tours, things like that. They've asked me to headline one of their tours this fall in September. So they've got a cruise ship leaving Florida, and they'll be going to Cozumel, they'll be going to Belize, they'll be going to sites like Tulum and La Manay, and also in Honduras. So they've asked me to headline that. I'm responsible for giving a lot of firesides and presentations while we're at sea, so I have a lot of information prepared to do that. And then also I'll be coming along with the groups whenever they dock and go on land to visit these sites and to kind of have some fun and adventures as well. So they've asked me to do that. I, of course, said, yes, I'd love to. It's contingent upon enough people signing up for it. But I hope it happens.
This is not a very expensive tour. I was surprised. Outside cabin, which is the most desirable, I guess, is like, what, $639?
That's per person double occupancy,
okay.
I believe, yes. And, their prices are very reasonable. Cruise Lady is a great organization. They've done this a lot. They work with really some big-name authors and scholars, which I'm surprised find myself there as well. But they've been in this a long time. They do great stuff. The price is great. The activities and tours that they do, I hear, are a lot of fun. People enjoy them. And I'd love to meet people, talk about all this stuff, and give them a copy of my book and go to these sites with them.
Well, this is a Western Caribbean cruise in September.
Yes, September of this year.
How different parts of the world, the good weather is different times. How is the weather in September?
I've been to that part of the world in the Caribbean and the Yucatan Peninsula at that time. It's a nice time to go. It's not as hot as the summer. You're avoiding the rainy season. So it's going to be it's warm and humid, of course, but it's tropical weather and should be a beautiful, nice time to go. The areas that we're going to are very tourist-friendly. They're very safe, if there's any concern about that. And they're just wonderful places to visit. I think the culture is wonderful. I think the people are wonderful. I love the food. And it's just a great thing to go and see, especially if it's something you haven't done before.
8-day tour, September 21st through 28th. How do people get information about this?
Well, they can go to cruiselady.com and look up the tours. If they go to Headliners, they'll see my name, and they can get it there. And this is the Adventure in Book of Mormon Lands. And so all their tours are listed by the date and the area. So you can contact them through their website. You can call them up. Also on my blog, which is ldsguide.blogspot.com, I've got... right there, I've got a post about it, and I've got the flyer that shows all the information, and the link you can click to will take you right to that page on their website. So easy enough to find. A lot of people have done tours with Cruise Lady and have great experiences.
If you were to look into the future, Daniel, what do you see as the next great adventure in that part of the world?
Wow, here's a question I didn't prepare for. I don't know. I would just hope that this is a hope, I guess, not a prediction, but I would hope that the people that are there, the indigenous peoples there, gain a greater love and understanding of their sites and take ownership of them and use them to their advantage and find out all that they can. And that is happening. Arthur Demarest, one of the major archaeologists working at Conquin, is getting a lot of the local people there to work at the site to protect the site from looters. If they understand how important it is, they will protect it from the looters so that they won't come in and steal the stuff. So that the people get more involved with it, they connect with their culture and their history more, more is found out, and that those of us who aren't there are able to find the stuff out, which is not easy to do. It's not common knowledge. So that's my hope, is that it goes back to the people and that they take ownership of it and love and appreciate their culture, and that we can appreciate it as well.
Daniel, it's been a great pleasure to have you on this Memorial weekend, and I wish you the very best with this cruise. Don't forget cruiselady.com. Anyone out there who's interested in details, that's a pretty easy site to find. You're listening to Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show. Daniel, thank you for being here.
I thank you for the opportunity. I've had a great time.
We'll be back, and we'll be talking Memorial Day and things going bump in the night when we come back. This is Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show on K-Talk.
Hey, Dad. I passed my driving test.
Nice license.
Shows off the facial hair, right?
What facial hair?
Anyway, Dad, I think it's time I had my own car.
Couldn't agree more.
Really?
Let me just grab the laptop and hit up dexknows.com. Let's see here. Used cars, no credit necessary. Perfect.
Whoa, sweet ride. How did you do that?
With Dex. When you need something here and you need it now, you gotta Dex it. So, let's use Dex to find you...
Hey, I'm Mike. Nice facial hair, kid.
Who's he?
Top-rated mechanic. The way you drive, you'll need one.
Good call.
Hey, Mike, you need any help in the front office?
You need a job?
No, but my son does.
I do.
How else are you gonna pay for all of this?
Oh.
Need something local and need it now? Find it with Dex. In the book, at dexknows.com, or on your mobile phone. You'll get the sharpest local info, reviews, and advice fast. Dex. Results for the here and now.
Hey,
Hey, this is Nia, the computer girl from PC Laptops. You've seen the news. Malware and spyware infections are an all-time high, and no brand of computer is 100% immune. Many protection programs do not protect you from everything, so people and companies are losing billions of dollars of data and cherished memories. Thieves are stealing social security numbers and your personal information. Is your hard drive clicking? Did your kids drop your computer? Did a bad person sabotage you? Did you know that we can also recover most crashed hard drives? If your computer is acting slow or strange, or if it's just dead, then bring it in to PC Laptops right now for a free scan and evaluation, no matter what brand it is. In fact, we are so good that if we can't fix it, we'll buy it from you. Get in on one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we love you.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station. K-Talk, AM 630, KTKK, Sandy, Salt Lake City. The whole truth and
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. President Obama led the nation in honoring America's war dead, laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington Cemetery. Afterward, he called attention to the troops still fighting the war in Afghanistan.
They're still going out on patrol, still living in Spartan forward operating bases, still risking their lives to carry out their mission.
European Union top diplomats met in Brussels today to try to reach a common decision on how to deal with Syria's bloody civil war. They came away from the meeting without an agreement. That means EU sanctions against Bashar al-Assad's regime are likely to expire June 1st. Meanwhile, Senator John McCain slipped into Syria today for a meeting with Syrian rebels. A spokesperson from his office confirmed the visit but gave no details on the talks. A passenger on an Alaska Airlines flight from Anchorage to Portland, Oregon, was arrested today after trying to open an emergency exit as the plane was coming in for a landing. He was restrained by other passengers and the plane landed safely. This is NBC News Radio. A federal appeals court considers tomorrow whether to make morning after birth control pills available to all women without limits on how they're sold. NBC Justice correspondent Pete Williams has that story.
In April, a federal judge ordered the government to make the morning after pill available to all women without a prescription and without sales limits, not just at the pharmacy counter. But the Obama administration wants to require a prescription for sale of the two-pill version of Plan B to women under 17 and to ban sale of the one-pill version to women under 15. All women would have to show a government-issued ID to buy the pills. Women's groups say the drugs are so safe they should be sold without limits. The appeals court must decide whether to keep the restrictions the Obama administration wants.
At the movies, The Hangover was no match for the latest Fast and Furious film. The sixth Fast and Furious movie debuted this weekend, grossing an estimated $120 million. Hangover Part 3 came in second at the box office, taking in about $51 million. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
If Dad hasn't already spelled it out for you, this Father's Day, he wants new golf gear. But don't worry, because the only word you need to remember to give Dad his day is Golfsmith. With exclusive Father's Day deals, gift-giving expertise, plus a huge selection of the latest and greatest clubs and accessories, Golfsmith is your destination for everything Dad. Because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day, only at Golfsmith.
Here's a surprising summertime fact from new Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. We all know that irritants like bug bites and poison ivy can make you itch. But what you might not know is how. Actually, it's the histamines your body creates in reaction to these irritants that make you miserable. But now that scratch has met its match. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. Its maximum strength itch medicine blocks your itch-causing histamines fast for long-lasting relief. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. The relief you've been itching for. Use as directed.
If Dad hasn't already spelled it out for you, this Father's Day, he wants new golf gear. But don't worry, because the only word you need to remember to give Dad his day is Golfsmith. With exclusive Father's Day deals, gift-giving expertise, plus a huge selection of the latest and greatest clubs and accessories, Golfsmith is your destination for everything Dad. Because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day, only at Golfsmith.
Here's a surprising summertime fact from new Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. We all know that irritants like bug bites and poison ivy can make you itch. But what you might not know is how. Actually, it's the histamines your body creates in reaction to these irritants that make you miserable. But now that scratch has met its match. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. Its maximum strength itch medicine blocks your itch-causing histamines fast for long-lasting relief. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. The relief you've been itching for. Use as directed.
Sundays at 4 p.m. to learn the latest cutting-edge science of health with your hosts Hugo Rodier, MD, and Gary Olson, DC, on the Integrative Health Show, sponsored by Pioneer Comprehensive Medical Clinic in Draper. Our country is suffering from poor health due to nutritional, environmental, and stress problems. Learn how to address these problems and not rely on symptomatic treatments that often have too many side effects. The Integrative Health Show, Sundays at 4 p.m. on KTalk AM 630.
Before Rush, there was Mills. Before Limbaugh, there was Crenshaw. Hard-hitting political talk and human interest discussions since 1965. Now, Drive Time Live with the Dean of Talk Radio, Mills Crenshaw.
405 in the Mountain West. Welcome back. This is Drive Time Live on this Memorial Day, and we are live. So your phone calls are more than welcome. Let me give you the phone number, 801-254-5855, and I will look forward to your calls. It's always a lot more fun doing talk radio when you're conversing with people rather than just sitting here and pontificating on things that may not be important to the audience. So I look forward to your calls. I do want you to know that there are some important things going on in the world. Now, this one that I'm going to share with you, you probably at first blush aren't going to think, it's probably not that important to you, but let's play with it for a minute. By the way, anything you want to talk about, it's open phone today, so if you have a particular topic, I would more than welcome it, and I most definitely want anyone who wants to pay tribute to one of their fallen family who is a hero of any of the wars that we have been in. This is a day for paying tribute to the fallen. So please feel free to take advantage of that. Turns out that Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah is clinically dead. A Saudi journalist who works for the London-based Ashraq Al-Wasat said that the Saudi monarch has been clinically dead since Wednesday. Now, he's been in bad health, and we've been watching this for some time. He also quoted medical sources in Saudi Arabia saying that the king's vital organs, including his heart, kidneys, and lungs, have stopped functioning. And they are said to have used defibrillators on him several times. He's reported to be alive with the help of a ventilator. So clinically, he's dead. Now, the royal court has refused to comment so far. He's an aging monarch, and he hasn't appeared in public of late. The country's crown prince is attending official meetings on his behalf. Now, this, by the way, is the second time in past months that Ashraq Al-Wasat reported that he was dead. So you got to take this a little bit with a grain of salt. November 2012, the Daily reported that the Saudi king had slipped into a coma and was clinically dead nearly a week after he underwent a 14-hour-long back surgery. Then the report was later rejected by the royal court, so they don't have a great track record. The 89-year-old king's health has declined over the past few years, during which he was hospitalized several times. Of that, there is no question. Failing health, old age, as well as death of the king's half-brothers have raised some very significant concerns about the future of the oil-rich country, particularly in view of anti-government demonstrations. Now, this is the reason that this could be very, very important. Now, there are two ways to look at this. And to the best of my knowledge, nobody has speculated yet as to which of the following are accurate. We know that the hijackers who flew the planes into the Twin Towers were Saudi nationals. Now, people don't do things like that on their own. They've got to be funded and directed by much higher authority. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, was that action taken with the knowledge and consent of the Saudi crown? At which point, the death of King Abdullah would be a major step forward for us in the world. However, if factors that were antithetical to the crown were behind all of this, then this may open a wave of new terror in the world. Because there's no question that Saudi oil money is responsible for funding the growth of Islam throughout the world, and particularly the growth of Islamic terrorism throughout the world. Do I know which way it's gonna swing? Nope, not a clue. And anything I would say would be speculation. We don't even know the direction that the crown prince is leaning. Is he pro-Western, or is he radical Islamist? Now, if anybody out there has any intelligence on that, I'd love to hear from you. Their foreign minister, Prince Saud Al-Faisal, has warned against the dangers of Iran's nuclear program. And he says that this is a threat to the nation's and the region's security, for that matter. And he's warned that Iran should not threaten its neighbors, since countries in the region harbor no ill intention to the Islamic Republic. Sounds sort of like a peacemaker. Here's a quote. We stress the danger of the Iranian nuclear program to the security of the whole region. That was Prince Saud just a couple of days ago on Saturday. That was a joint news conference with Indian External Affairs Minister Salman Khurshid in the city of Jeddah. Then he turned his attention to Syria, and he said that Syrian's President Bashar Assad and his regime should have no role in the country's future. What does that mean? Now, at the same time this is going on, Arizona's senior senator went over to meet with the rebels who are fighting against Assad, sticking his nose in where it doesn't belong, making friends with the rebel, and at the same time, Hamas has gone in there to act in favor of the current administration. We have powerful agencies on both sides of this conflict, and instead of leaning toward peace, it looks more and more as though we're ginning up a full-blown war in the Middle East. And with that, of course, it runs the risk of involving Uncle Sugar deeper and deeper. Okay, now I'm going to speculate to some extent. Not on which way the House of Saud will go, but more and more it appears that Barack Insane Obama is in favor of assisting anybody who's trying to set up the worldwide Muslim caliphate. And I don't understand it. None of it makes any sense at all. Not if he is a Christian president of the United States who's concerned about world peace. With that perspective, it doesn't make any sense at all. And while that's going on, what is Iran doing? Well, they're getting ready for elections. Okay, next month, elections. But at the very same time, it's fielding a massive number of new long-range missile launchers. And that came out just yesterday from Iranian media. Defense Minister General Ahmad Vahadi is quoted as saying, new weapon system give them, the Iranian forces, the ability to, quote, crush the enemy with simultaneous launching of long-range surface-to-surface missiles. He didn't say who the enemy was. Anybody want to take a wild guess? Oh, yeah, and the surface-to-surface missiles are capable of 1,200-mile targeted range, well inside Israel and U.S. bases in the region. No, Vahadi did not specify who the enemy was. And he said, oh, of course, Iran will never start a war. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reassured by that. How about you? And although Tehran occasionally announces military achievements that can't be independently verified, like the claim it had developed a state-of-the-art stealth drone capable of evading enemy radar. Only last year, as the UN slapped Tehran with another round of sanctions, they claimed that they had developed a state-of-the-art stealth drone capable of evading enemy radar. And only last year, remember, when they got the sanctions, Iran threatened to shut down the Straits of Hormuz. Now, why would that be of concern to us, the U.S.? Well, from a world politic view, 18 million barrels of oil every single day. Now, that's over a third of the world's total flow every day through that strait, through the Straits of Hormuz. And any disruption would not only greatly affect world oil prices, by extension, it would be a massive blow to the entire global economy. So the standoff in this military parade, as the U.S. send three full U.S. carrier groups, each accompanied by dozens of support vessels, carrying more aircraft than the entire Iranian Air Force, are there to participate in the Hormuz. I'm mispronouncing that. It's Hormuz. The Hormuz exercises. And, of course, that didn't please Tehran. They were mightily chapped at that. Earlier this month, another naval drill began in the Persian Gulf, and we seem to be trying to tweak the tiger's tail. In September, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talk before the United Nations General Assembly to draw a clear red line. Remember that? Had the picture of the bomb and drew a red line when it was about to be lighted to prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons and we have done nada, nothing. Let's face it, the Likud government is pretty hawkish. And Netanyahu said that all of the options are on the table, which is almost a naked threat of military. But Tehran has rejected the allegations, arguing that it's developing its capability for purely civilian purposes. Any of you out there believe that? Hi, caller, your first name, please.
Hey, guess what?
What?
On breaking news, on the Brooklyn Bridge, they're following a suspect in a car that might have a bomb.
I love it. Another day in the United States. I'm glad you shared that, Elaine.
Yeah, but I don't know if I find it funny.
Well, I think it's funny in that this kind of stuff just never stops.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, it's breaking news. They're following the suspect right now.
Is it a slow procession or is it high speed?
It looks like it might be slow. They just broke into my TV, so that's how I know.
Well, I'm glad you shared that with us.
Yeah, anyway, so today's Memorial Day, so...
Anything particular you'd like to say about Memorial Day?
That, I mean, the men give you a right to talk, even though you don't agree with what somebody's saying. Right?
Yeah.
Freedom of speech. But anyway, yeah. Let's see. I went out to Pioneer Park today to help serve the veterans. Yep. This morning.
Okay.
And then... after I got done doing that, I went up to Hill Air Force for about an hour, and then I came back. And now I'm getting ready, because I got some servicemen coming over, and one's from Alabama, and I'm cooking him ham hocks with collard greens.
Ah.
Yeah. That's special for him, because he helped me with something, and I haven't forgot it, so I invited him over.
I think that's neat.
So he's going to get that, and the rest of them are going to get steak. I feed the troops real good food. I enjoy it.
You're a neat person.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Well, I showed them the best. They deserve the best.
Thank you, Elaine. Got to go for a break, right, but okay. I really appreciate it. Right, happy holiday to you.
Mother can be difficult. Prices Guaranteed Doors has a few suggestions that are sure to make her happy and will last a lifetime. How about a new front door? For only $3.99, get a new fiberglass front door, complete with frame, new threshold, and doorknob. Or how about our ultra-quiet Genie Garage Door Opener, completely installed, including tax, for only $2.99. Or you could get her a new insulated garage door, installed for only $6.99. That's a 16x7 door for only $6.99. Lots of styles and colors to choose from. And remember, for only $39, we can make her old garage door work like new again with our $39 lube and adjust. For mom's sake, call today, 975-7575. That's 975-7575. Prices Guaranteed Doors, home of the Lifetime Maintenance Program. We provide service from Ogden to St. George.
Here's the in-your-face reality. You're listening right now. You're listening because the show is compelling, involved radio that's difficult to tune away from. And if you're listening, so are your potential clients and customers. The only thing missing is your commercial calling our listeners to action. Dynamic, affordable growth for your company is a phone call away. 253-4883. When we answer...
Thank you for calling KTalk Radio.
Say...
Hi, I'd like to advertise...
We'll take it from there, and you'll love the results. Call KTalk Radio right now. 253-4883.
AM 630 KTalk, the voice of Utah. The sound of freedom. Broadcasting the truth around the world on k-talk.com. AM 630 KTalk, live local two-way talk. Drive Time Live with Mills Crenshaw.
424 in the Mountain West. Welcome back. This is Drive Time Live, the other name is the Mills Crenshaw Show, of course, and it is here on K-Talk. Kid, welcome.
Hey, Mills.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're presenting, and it sounds like there is a possibility of it. What does Obama always say with all these situations that are happening? He just says, well, we're just going to stand down. We're just going to stand down. What's going to happen if Iran gets these far-range missile things going and they all swing them our way, and then everybody's telling him, hey, we got to do something, got to do something, and he tells everybody and orders them to stand down? It's a scary thing.
And a lot of people will die.
You know, I don't know what his if that's what he's got in mind. I don't know what his motive is anymore. I can't trust that guy.
Unfortunately, that is becoming very apparent, isn't it?
And do you think if Biden gets in there, do you think he's going to be any better?
No. No. Biden is a fool. I believe the president is culpable. Biden is just an idiot, in my personal opinion. I don't think
he would handle it worse then.
No, I think he would be manipulated by the system pretty readily.
The system being communist?
Well, Marxist.
Yeah. It's a scary, scary time we're living in, Mills.
That it is.
So what's going to happen with that worst case scenario?
Nobody's told me that yet.
Who would be the next in line to be able to handle and run the country?
Kid, the thing that worries me the most is that, again, I have to say this is my opinion. I can't prove it. The Democrats have discovered how to steal elections. They now have it down pat. And I'm not certain we will ever again have a free, fair, and open election without cheating.
Okay.
And that bodes very ill for our nation.
Now, do you think the Democrats, there's a lot of them in there that are Marxists?
Their whole party has been taken over by the Marxist. Are there old-fashioned Democrats still around? Yeah, a handful. Most of them are gone.
Yeah, but if they are around, they belong to the Republicans.
No, there are people who are so hidebound and so destructively committed to their own parties that... there was somebody once who said that if a yellow dog ran for office as a Democrat, it would get elected.
Well, I don't know. And I also heard, too, on the BBC late last night, that McCain had just been over to Syria, and
he met with the rebels.
Yeah. And he's thinking about
Al-Qaeda.
He's thinking about getting some more armament over there.
Yeah. And who's he giving it to? Al-Qaeda.
For real?
For real. They are the rebels. A faction of Al-Qaeda are the head of the rebel group.
Now, where does Turkey fit in on all this?
Turkey may actually be the most powerful force there in the Middle East. And if Walid Shubat is right, the premier of Turkey is someone we need to keep our eye on.
So they've got that much power?
Potentially, yes.
I also heard, too, that... North Korea had got special orders there from Beijing, China, with a fancy written paper statement and everything, that, hey, they better cool down.
I hope that's right.
And, well, that's why they've been more peaceful lately. And they, you know, well, actually, they're not peaceful. They're just kind of a nation to be rattle-tattled with. But
the tragedy is, as evil as that nation is politically, its people are starving to death as a result of the Marxist regime that's in power there. And I really feel very sad for the North Korean people.
So do I. Do you think that cannibalism is really the real thing over there?
The reports that we have seem to be credible.
Why do people have to fight so much?
That is a great question that deserves several programs, but
very, very top scholars.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks, Mills. I absolutely had to pay attention here to the program here today because you have the best program, and especially on the big holiday stuff.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mills.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to K-Talk.
Yeah, two things to comment on. First, Turkey is going to be one of those countries that attack Israel when the war of Ezekiel chapter 38 starts, 38 and chapter 39. And it's going to start as conventional war, and then it's going to go nuclear, and Israel's going to win it. I guess you already know that, though, right?
Yeah, but do you know how many of her people will be killed?
Not of Israel, but I know that the vast majority of the Muslim army that attacks Israel will die. It says 5 out of every 6 enemy soldier will die, and these are Muslim soldiers in case nobody's mentioned it. 5 out of every 6 Muslim soldier that attacks Israel will die, and it will take Israel 7 months to bury the enemy dead, and that's with power shovels, you know, excavators and bulldozers to dig big trenches and shove the bodies in them and bury them. It'll take them 7 months to bury that enemy army.
200,000 people at least.
Okay, and there's going to
be two
wars.
I'm wrong. It's 200 million.
Well, remember, there's another war coming. That's the Battle of Armageddon. It's not just the one big one. There's two separate wars between, in maybe 7 years between, or 3.5 years between the two wars. But the Bible says that God's going to help Israel win both of them. And
unfortunately, only a tithe will be left.
A tithe of what?
Only a tithe, one-tenth, will be left.
Of Israel? Or the enemy?
Of Israel.
Well, anyway. 5 out of every 6 of them are going to die. Now, let me move on and point out that since the Muslims are causing all these troubles, they're going to start those two wars, by the way, the War of Ezekiel and the Battle of Armageddon, that and all the terrorism they've done here in America. And Boston, Massachusetts was just the tip of the iceberg. And then lately we saw London where they hacked the guy's head off. I was thinking, there's an old saying that an ounce of prevention is worth the pound of cure. So the ounce here would be stop allowing Muslims to immigrate to America or to get visas to come here, and then we won't have to do anything and there won't be any terrorism later. So would you say that maybe we should write something in this new immigration bill if they insist on passing it that says no Muslims will be allowed to immigrate to America or get visas?
Are you kidding?
No. They are the enemy. The Muslims are our enemy.
Mike,
and it came out of that the other day.
Mike, you are going exactly in the opposite direction that the administration is headed.
Well, they're not going to be there forever. Obama isn't going to be there forever. I can tell you that. And he might be impeached in 2 years. He's done impeachable things.
No question. But he controls the Senate. And
well, that's going to change.
And the Senate will not convict.
Well, the Democrats in the Senate won't, but they're going to be voted out in a year and a half when the mid-year elections come up, 2014.
I certainly hope you're accurate with that. But wait a minute. The Democrats have learned how to steal elections.
Well, maybe.
So what makes you think that they won't steal the midterm elections?
They can. It's in a bunch of different states. Not only that, there's been six Democrats that have already announced they're not going to run again, and the reason is they can't get reelected. So they just announced, I'm retiring and I won't run again. But in actuality, if they did, they'd lose.
All right,
people
Mike.
Are getting mad at what's happening, and they're going to take it out on the Democrats in the midterm elections.
Okay, Mike, thank you. Appreciate your call. 254-5855, that's the number to call. Your calls are welcome. Memorial today, Memorial Day today. In Great Britain, I'm looking at pictures of war memorials, and vandals have attacked two of Britain's most celebrated war memorials and using red paint to daub them with the word Islam covering over inscriptions. The RAF Bomber Command, which is one of the most prominent and most famous, and the Animals in War Memorial, both in central London, were covered with red paint. No arrests so far. And the words written on the memorials have been covered up with plastic sheets. They were discovered early this morning, but it was believed that Islam has been written on each of them. And, of course, Britain right now is suffering a gigantic influx of radical Muslims who have come into the country both legally and illegally. And the British, very foolishly, have acquiesced to the point that in some places Sharia law is now being practiced in Great Britain. And as I mentioned earlier, Iran has begun a massive deployment of long-range missiles. And even Saudi Arabia is warning against their nuclear plan. They're worried about it. And right now, peace seems very, very tenuous. One man's opinion. I welcome yours. 801-254-5855. Now, what are we doing in the United States to encourage individual freedom? Well, let me share with you this. We, the U.S., have warned Great Britain not to drop out of the European Union. That's right. The Obama administration warned the British officials that if the U.K. leaves Europe, it's going to exclude itself from the U.S.-EU trade. Why? There are really only two countries in Europe that we need to worry about trade with, and one of them's Britain, and the other's Germany. And both of those countries have seriously thought about getting out of the European Union because it has turned out to be a disaster. So has the euro as a universal currency over there. The warning from us, the U.S., came following David Cameron's visit to the United States. And that appearance was primarily intended as a joint promotion with the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership with Barack Obama. And the Prime Minister at that time said he could bring $10 billion a year to the U.K. alone. But at the same time, there was a rebellion back in London of the cabinet. The threat by Cameron's ministers to back a UK exit in a referendum on the European Union brought on this pronouncement from bureaucrats in Washington, you got to stay in the European Union or we'll lock you out of our trade agreements. Hi, caller, your first name, please.
This is Steve Mills.
Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, I just got off work, and I was listening to you talk about Iran and the long-range missiles.
Yes.
That is scary because people forget one important thing. And that area of the world breeds madmen, and madmen aren't afraid to use them.
And if they have nukes, they will use them.
Exactly. They have a don't care attitude. Let me tell you something that happened. This was back in 1983 when I was attending school up at the Little Red Hoo Schoolhouse on the Hill. There were a bunch of letters going back and forth in the Chronicle about who was stronger, us or Russia. You know, we have more planes. Russia has more planes. We have more missiles. They have more missiles. And so I finally wrote a letter. I had enough. And I wrote a letter that basically said something to the effect of what I just said, that somebody like Muammar Gaddafi could be the most powerful country in the world with 10 nuclear weapons because he wouldn't be afraid to use them.
Yeah, hold that thought. I don't want to end on this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show, on Memorial Day on K-Talk. Back after this short break.
Did you know a reverse mortgage can allow you to own your home for never making another mortgage payment? Did you know a reverse mortgage can give qualified senior homeowners access to their equity to create extra tax-free income every month? Did you know that with a reverse mortgage, you will not be foreclosed on no matter how long you live in your home or how much you owe, as long as you keep your property taxes and insurance paid? There may be a lot you don't know yet about a reverse mortgage. This is Alan Blood, president of Capital Financial Group Mortgage Services and the host of When Wall Street Meets Main Street, the Friday Real Estate Edition. A reverse mortgage may be the right solution for you to help ease your golden years or create an earlier retirement. If you're 62 or older, with reverse mortgage rates at all-time record lows, now is a good time to find out more about what a reverse mortgage really is and what it could do for you. Call me, Alan Blood, at 801-298-5887, and I'll schedule a no-cost, no-pressure consultation where you can get answers to your questions about reverse mortgages and see if it's right for you. That's 801-298-5887. 801-298-5887. NMLS number 3146.
$3 Carpet and Draper is now hiring salespeople to offer our unique line of high-quality carpeting at very low prices. Most of our carpet comes from large, high-end trade shows and conventions and would normally sell for around $12 per yard. But we offer it back to the public starting at only $3 per yard. Our conventions held around the country use new carpet for each show. And after only 2 days of use, we roll up this beautiful never-stretch carpet and offer it back to the public at drastically reduced prices. We offer a great selection, and our customers love us. We offer sales and lead support with very generous commissions. Go to $3carpet.com and call us at 888-968-1913. That's 888-968-1913. You can work full or part-time to be part of our exciting ground floor opportunity. Call 888-968-1913, Monday through Friday, or go to $3carpet.com. That's $3carpet.com. Good selling.
At home, at work, and in the car. AM 630, K-Talk.
AM 630, K-Talk. Real people, real talk. Drive Time Live with Mills Crenshaw.
4:43 in the Mountain West on Memorial Day. Welcome, Steve. You're back.
Okay. As I was finished, I'll start over. I wrote a letter to the editor after all these other letters, and I stated basically that there's a lot of factors to consider, but one of them I said was somebody like Muammar Gaddafi, who was the scary guy at that time, would be the most powerful nation on the earth with just 10 nuclear weapons because he wouldn't be afraid to use them. The beauty of that, my letter, is all the letters stopped after that. Nobody wrote another letter.
Interesting.
You know, but you got to look at a lot of factors when you do things like that. But I'll still stick to my original point and yours. You know, it is scary if some of these countries do get nuclear weapons.
Okay. Look, when we had the MAD doctrine with the Soviet Union at that time, mutually assured destruction, it stopped the possibility of nuclear war because both sides were worried that they would end up being destroyed, correct?
That's exactly correct.
But in the case of these militant Islamists, they want to die. They think that martyrdom is the greatest thing that can happen, and if they're willing to wrap explosives on their body, blow themselves up in order to take just a couple of people out, how reluctant do you think they would be to sneak a nuclear device into one of our major cities?
That's a no-brainer, Mills.
And yet we have an administration that totally ignores that possibility.
Yeah, they do. Let me add that I spent 4 years in the Air Force. I was a missile launch officer. Believe me, I know what it takes to launch a missile. And it's not an easy process. There's a lot of things that have to be done before we could turn that key. Thank goodness we never had to turn it, but we were trained to do that if we were called upon to do so.
Have you noticed that Obama is slowly destroying our military?
I've noticed the military slowly being eroded for a long time, actually. Not just Obama, but previous administrations, too.
Sad but true.
Yep.
Thanks for the call.
I have.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Steve. 254-5855. Yeah, and look, Obama gives speeches all the time. He's a teleprompter reader. And he sent very strong signals this week. Here's what he envisions for our military in a post-September 11 era. He said, we will have stricter limits on drone attacks overseas. And he telegraphed a new emphasis on fighting terrorism based more on targeted, isolated threats and less on a projection of force. He's going to reduce our military even further and just react to local threats. Now, just as his government's mission is changing, so is our military. And both are shrinking. Now, during Obama's 4.5 years in the White House, I don't know if you're even aware of this, but military spending and active duty force has shrunk by 29,000 American soldiers and Marines are no longer engaged in combat in Iraq. In Afghanistan, their presence is going to dwindle to a residual force. And a perpetual war through drones or special forces or troop deployments will be self-defeating. And that's what the president said in a speech Thursday at the National Defense University in Washington. Now, this weekend, some who died in conflicts are going to be commemorated at Arlington and other cemeteries across the country. And while saying that our nation is still threatened by terrorists, Obama contended that we have to recognize that the scale of the threat closely resembles the types of attacks we faced before 9/11. In other words, don't give it a thought. No big threat. We're in good shape, which is all part of his lead from behind mentality. Oh, yeah, and at the same time, we are winding down our ability to defend our our country from enemies, foreign and domestic. The Obama officials are criminalizing journalism. Have you thought about that? Yeah. The very people that can blow the whistle on the administration, they're going after. They are trying to criminalize the press. Some U.S. lawmakers are asking for an independent investigator to look into the way the Justice Department is handling its cases involving reporters. And let's face it, there's pretty widespread criticism of Obama and the aggressive way that they're going after not enemies, but leakers, people who try and blow the whistle on the evils of our own government. They're the ones that Obama's going after. Obama doesn't go after the criminals and the terrorists. He goes after reporters and whistleblowers. Lindsey Graham seems to think that this would be a good time for a special counsel or independent counsel. And he's one who mouthed this. He said that we're beginning to criminalize journalism. And the one thing that he said I can give him a hear is, he said, that ought to worry all of us. Because, you see, if they criminalize journalism, well, it's already happening. I shouldn't say it will. It is. The sources for Congress to learn about the evils that the government has been perpetrating, the sources are drying up because they're scared that the Obama administration is going after them. Sort of like World War II Germany. The Gestapo would round up anyone that spoke out against the administration. And Obama is formulating, apparently, his own Gestapo. And then we have this survey, which sort of puts it in perspective to my way of thinking. Gallup just did this. Gallup Daily Tracking Survey today released the fact that the majority of Americans believe that the federal government has too much power. Yeah, majority of Americans say they believe the American government today wields far too much power. 54% express that belief is higher than even in 2010. Only 8% of the Americans thought they felt that the federal government was a little too powerful, while 36% said it had about the right power, but 54%. Only 8% felt that it doesn't have enough power, that it needs more power, but 54% say that it's much too powerful. Twice as many Republicans as Democrats say that it has. That was 76% of Republicans to only 32% of Democrats. But the fact that almost a third of Democrats believe the federal government has too much power is in itself quite revealing. 46% feel that the federal government poses an immediate threat to the rights and freedoms of ordinary citizens. That's shocking. But it's a sign of our times. Because we have, in my personal opinion, a tyrant in office who despises the Constitution, and he has personally stated why. He believes that the Constitution is far too restrictive of the power of government. Here, this heavy-handed tyrant despises our Constitution because it it's too restrictive, and he's in the process of destroying the Constitution, again, in my opinion. And if you disagree, you're more than welcome to call in and say so. And this is a time when throughout the world, any left-leaning administration of any kind is beginning to clamp down on the press. You ever wonder why the First Amendment was the first freedom of religion and freedom of the press was the first of the Bill of Rights? Ever think about that? It's because if we cannot freely and openly express our concerns about government intrusion on our liberties, we're doomed. They'll shut us up, then they'll round us up. But part of that First Amendment was also religious liberty. And every day you see stories around the country where one atheist kid complains because the school has the Ten Commandments on the wall. And so, rather than get involved in lengthy litigation, the school district is forced to acquiesce to the minority and strip the majority of their religious liberty. And nobody says a damn thing. The Constitution of the United States is very specific. It says that Congress shall make no law regarding an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But what's happening is a group of wacko liberals has interpreted that to mean no government agency can do that, but that's not what the founders believed. They actually would have endorsed a state religion, not national. No, they wouldn't have a national religion. But if Massachusetts wanted Catholicism to be the official state religion, they would not have objected, because the restriction was on Congress, not on states, not on local governments, not on football teams, not on math classes that might have had the Ten Commandments on their walls. That is an absurdity. And that is an infringement on the rights of the majority by a tiny vocal minority. And it's got to stop, or we're going to lose the liberty that we enjoy right now. One man's opinion, I welcome yours. We're going to break for top of the hour news and learn more perhaps about that, about the chase that Elaine mentioned. Then we'll be back, hopefully, with your phone calls as well. Telephone number 801-254-5855 this Memorial Day, 2013. Your calls are welcome. 801-254-5855.
I want my company's network to be safer and more reliable.
Do you want to deal with multiple vendors?
No.
Are per-user fees and added feature costs okay?
No.
How about solutions that are hard to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Networks offers the largest family of powerful, affordable security networking and storage solutions designed to protect business users, apps, and data, all from a single source that's easy to do business with. Protect your business. Visit barracuda.com/product to try any free for 30 days.
I love weekends because I get to spend quality time with my kids, driving them around, which I love. Hockey games at 4:30 a.m., love it.
Life is a long drive.
Make sure your car's along for the ride. Mobile Super Motor Oil is formulated to help prevent sludge and protect against wear. Mobile Super, for long engine life. Now at Advance Auto Parts, get a 5-quart Mobile Super conventional oil change with filter for just $16.99. See store for details. Certain restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Dan the Phone Man from PC Laptops. A lot of people ask me, what's better, a smartphone, laptop, or a desktop computer? The answer is all of them. Most people have different kinds of phones and computers at home and at work, so making everything work together is what we do at PC Laptops. We show you how to share your pictures, your documents over every platform, so everything just works. At PC Laptops, every phone, laptop, and desktop computer come with a lifetime service guarantee. That means if you ever need help, you're covered for free forever. One-stop shop at PC Laptops. Just stop by any one of our 8 locations and say, show me the love, and we'll give you an extra $100 off any new desktop or laptop computer and a free smartphone. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really love you. New 2-year activation required per phone upgrade, early termination, other fees may apply. We love you.
You're listening to Utah's first number one talk station. K-Talk, AM 630, KTKK, Sandy, Salt Lake City. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Across the country, it was a day to honor those who have served in the nation's military. President Obama spoke at Arlington National Cemetery.
Let it be our task, every single one of us, to honor the strength and the resolve and the love these brave Americans felt for each other and for our country.
The president placed a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns. Earlier, he and the First Lady hosted a breakfast at the White House with families of service members who have been killed. Many Americans took to the beach today. Stephanie Gosk was on the Jersey Shore, which has risen from the destruction of Superstorm Sandy.
Almost looks like a typical Memorial Day at Seaside Heights, but this is not what we saw 7 months ago, just after Sandy. In fact, this place was one of the worst hit places. I mean, remember those iconic images of the roller coaster thrown into the water? There was a single board on this boardwalk that wasn't ripped off. They rebuilt the entire thing.
President Obama will tour the Jersey Shore tomorrow with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. This is NBC News Radio. Everything turned out okay, but it was a scary trip overnight on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship Grandeur of the Seas.
People were panicking because we had no idea what was going on. And before we went to bed, there was a pretty bad storm and the ship was really rocking. So our first thought was that we were sinking.
An onboard fire caused a change of itinerary to Freeport, Bahamas. Officials say no one was hurt. Britain's foreign secretary says the European Union is effectively ending its embargo against supplying Syrian rebels with weapons. But diplomats say the European nations will refrain from any arms deliveries to Syria for the time being. Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona paid a surprise visit to Syria today and met with some of the rebels. It has been an especially violent day in Iraq. Car bombings in mostly Shiite neighborhoods have claimed 66 lives. San Antonio is drying out after a weekend of torrential rains that flooded roads, rivers, and creeks around central Texas. 3 people died after being swept away by rushing waters. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
Golfsmith and TaylorMade want to help you give Dad the best Father's Day ever with exclusive deals on the hottest gear in golf. Give the game-changing TaylorMade R1 driver and get $50 instant savings plus a $25 Golfsmith gift card. Save $100 instantly on any 8-piece Rocket Blades iron set and score a $50 Golfsmith gift card, because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day, only at Golfsmith.
Your boss wouldn't steal a computer from a store, but your boss may have installed software illegally on company computers. This isn't just wrong, it's illegal. Software Alliance is offering cash rewards for qualifying software piracy leads. Help protect innovation. Report software piracy confidentially. Go online at inputnopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. It's never been easier to report software piracy. Inputnopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
If Dad hasn't already spelled it out for you, this Father's Day, he wants new golf gear. But don't worry, because the only word you need to remember to give Dad his day is Golfsmith. With exclusive Father's Day deals, gift-giving expertise, plus a huge selection of the latest and greatest clubs and accessories, Golfsmith is your destination for everything Dad. Because the gift that never stops giving is a better game. Give Dad his day, only at Goldsmith.
Here's a surprising summertime fact from new Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. We all know that irritants like bug bites and poison ivy can make you itch. But what you might not know is how. Actually, it's the histamines your body creates in reaction to these irritants that make you miserable. But now that scratch has met its match. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. Its maximum strength itch medicine blocks your itch-causing histamines fast for long-lasting relief. New Allegra Anti-Itch Cream. The relief you've been itching for. Use as directed.
You're driving a high-performance car, but you're still wearing your indoor eyeglasses in the glare of the sun?
Honey, the stop sign!
Next time, experience Xperio UV, superior polarized sunglasses, and experience the difference. They eliminate 100% of blinding reflective glare and offer ESPF 50 plus, the maximum UV protection available. Ask your eye care professional about Xperio UV, superior polarized sun lenses, in your prescription. For the best vision under the sun.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedPTT3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
It's tax season again. I'm Jim Kirkwood, and I want you to enjoy special KTalk pricing on your tax return preparation. We will charge KTalk listeners less than TurboTax and much less than the national chains and franchises. My partner and I both have experience and tested certification. Certified Tax Professionals offers knowledgeable tax return preparation. Call me, Jim Kirkwood, at 801-915-9927. Why pay more, much more, to get an inferior product? Certified Tax Professionals will do your return accurately and at a low price. Then, if you're audited, we're able to represent you before the IRS. Certified Tax Professionals has an enrolled agent on staff in order to solve any problems that may arise in your return. If you have problems with previous year's returns by other tax preparers, we can represent you. Don't pay a lot of money for nothing. Visit me at Reams Grocery Store on 4700 South at 2700 West from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or call me, Jim Kirkwood, at 801-915-9927. That's 801-915-9927. Thank you very much.
Before Rush, there was Mills. Before Limbaugh, there was Crenshaw. Hard-hitting political talk and human interest discussions since 1965. Now, Drive Time Live with the Dean of Talk Radio, Mills Crenshaw.
506 in the Mountain West. Welcome back. This is Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show on this Memorial Day. We're live, and I would love to hear your phone calls, 801-254-5855. And if you have any special memories, any comments about Memorial Day, or just want to shoot the breeze, your calls are welcome. 801-254-5855. Story out of New Orleans. I think this is kind of touching. It's nice to know that a World War veteran's last request has been fulfilled. Finally, after 70 years. Corporal Thomas Cotton Jones was killed by a Japanese sniper in the South Pacific in 1944, and he wrote what he called his last request to anybody who might find his diary. Quote, please give it to Laura Mae Davis. Laura Mae Davis was the young woman he was in love with. And she did finally get to read the diary after 70 years. She happened to see it in a display case at the National World War II Museum. She said, I didn't have any idea there was a diary there. She's 90 years of age, from Mooresville, Indiana. And she said, of course, it brought tears to her eyes. Laura Mae Davis Burlingame. She married an Army Air Corps man in 1945. Of course, she had been told that young Cotton had been killed. And she'd gone to the New Orleans Museum in April of this year looking for a display commemorating this young Marine who'd been her high school sweetheart. She said, "I figured I'd see pictures of him and the fellows that he'd served with and articles about where he'd served," she said. And she was stunned to find the diary of the 22-year-old machine gunner. Curator Eric Rivett let her take a closer look using white gloves to protect the old papers from the skin of her hand, the oils in her skin. It was the first time in his 17 years of museum work that somebody had found themselves mentioned in an artifact in the museum. The diary was a gift that she had given the young Marine. They had met in the class of 41 at Winslow High School. He was a basketball player, and I was a cheerleader, she said. Jones had given her his class ring, but they weren't officially engaged. They were just going steady. They'd dated through high school, and they went to the prom together. He made his first diary entry while a private at Camp Elliott in San Diego a little less than a year before he was killed. He described it as my life history of my days in the Marine Corps and most of all my love for Laura May, for whom my heart is completely filled. So if you all get a chance, please return it to her. I am writing this as my last request. They have a photograph of this page, and it says, "To whom it may concern, if this diary is lost and it is possible, please return it to Miss Laura May Davis," and gives her address. Within this book, you will find my life history and in days in the U.S. It's handwritten, so I'm having a little trouble translating it. Sorry about that. Marine Corps and about people I don't like, or they come in contact with, or have dealings with, and most of my love for Laura May, for whom my heart is simply filled. So if you all get a chance, please return it to her. Writing this is my last request, and then he signs it. So, a sniper bullet dropped him on September 17th of 1944, the third day of the U.S. assault on the Pacific island of Pele. Peleliu. Peleliu is where the forces learned the Japanese had changed their island defense tactics. Instead of concentrating units on the beach and fighting with reckless bonsai charges, the Japanese holed up in bunkers, trenches, pillbox, and cage. Many of them blasted into the island's hills and mountains, and that had to be taken one at a time. Jones, nicknamed in high school for his blonde hair, was the 1st Marine Division's L Company 3rd Battalion. He was among 1,700 Americans killed in Peleliu and nearby islands in a 2.5-month assault that Marine General William Rupertus had predicted would be over in a few days. Another 7,302 Americans were wounded. Estimated 10,900 Japanese were killed. 19 soldiers and sailors became prisoners of war, and another 283 POWs were laborers, mostly Korean. Burlingham said he didn't know why she never got the diary. Apparently, it went first to a sister of Jones that she didn't know very well. Robert Hunts of Evansville, the nephew who gave the Jones artifacts to the museum, told her he had received it several years after Jones' death and worried that passing it on might cause problems with her marriage. It wouldn't have. she said. My husband and Tommy were good friends. When she learned that Hunt was collecting mementos for the museum, she gave him photographs in the class ring. Jones' last entry while aboard the USS Maui on December 1st of 1943 described winning $200 at craps. He had a total of $320, he wrote, and when we get back home, Laura May and I could really have a wonderful Christmas. He wondered if he should wire the money to him as a Christmas present, but that didn't happen. His tour group had to leave, but the museum scanned the diary and mailed a copy to her. The diary's 4x7-inch back cover was nearly filled in with her photograph. The picture itself was black and white, but the photographer had tinted her cheeks pink and her lips dark red. A little piece of history on this Memorial Day of a young man who gave his life in defense of his country in a Pacific island he probably had never heard of before they took it. I had a cousin by the name of Rex Crandall, who was a Marine, and he was killed on Saipan. And, of course, at the time this happened, I was just a little kid. But to this day, I remember hearing that Rex had been killed. And the family, of course, mourned his loss. And you think back to all of the wars of history, of all of the young men who have paid the price for liberty. What was it they were fighting for? For the right to be whatever we want to be. To freely be able to speak out when we think our government is wacko and not have to worry about looking over our shoulders the way journalists do now because we have a tyrant in office. And yeah, we have come to the point where those of us who are on the radio will have to start looking over our shoulders. Because we're exercising that First Amendment right. We're speaking out about what we see as incipient evil. Men who would change our way of living. Men who want unconditional obedience to the leader, the head of our government. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the meaning of the word Führer. In Deutsch, Führer is leader. So der Führer was the leader. And right now, we not only have a leader who is tyrannical in his leadership and growing increasingly so, but in addition to that, he's going after the press and the IRS. One of the most powerful agencies in government is going after his political enemies, conservatives, people who believe in the Constitution and in the principles of freedom, and that is verboten. Can't you see what's going on here? Don't you understand? We have formed Citizens of the Republic, not as a political party, but as an organization that allows free people to join together in renewing our acquaintance with and our dedication to the Constitution of the United States. Now, why the heck would we worry about doing that? Well, it's pretty simple. We have proven for once and all time that political parties do not protect us. The Democrats are selling us into tax slavery, and they're not satisfied. They want more. They want more power. They want more of your money. And the Republicans have proven once and for all that they can't be trusted either. They're acquiescing to all kinds of things. They're acquiescing to higher taxes, maybe. They're about to give away our country to illegal aliens and give citizenship to people who came here illegally and are stealing us blind. No, not all. Not every one of them is stealing us blind, but enough that are claiming welfare rights that they are not entitled to, and that is a form of theft. And in exchange for votes, these two political parties are trying to outdo each other in giving up individual liberties and giving up that precious right of the vote to people who are not here legally and are not entitled to exercise the franchise. And we're supposed to go along with it. No, political parties can't keep us safe. They never have. But there's more, and I'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to Drive Time Live on this Memorial Day weekend. Long weekend. And welcome your call, 801-254-5855.
What would you do for an extra $1,000 a year? Cut hundreds of coupons, shop the sales, maybe get a second job? What about just refinancing your mortgage and dropping your payment by $100 each month? I'm Alan Blood, president of Capital Financial Group Mortgage Services and the host of When Wall Street Meets Main Street, the Friday Real Estate Edition. On our show, we talk about how to make the money you put into real estate work for you. I've helped hundreds of Utah families put their money to work and reduce their monthly payments by taking advantage of the current near record low interest rates. As a local independent mortgage broker, I'm able to help my clients get the best possible loan and save hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars every year by refinancing. Whether you're looking to just reduce the rate on your current mortgage or maybe even consolidate other debt by refinancing, now is the time to start saving money. Call me, Alan Blood, at 801-298-5887 to find out how much you can save. That's 801-298-5887. Isn't it time you started saving money? Call me today to find out how much refinancing can save your family at 801-298-5887. NMLS number 3146.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on. A message from the Foundation for a Better Life.
Here's the in-your-face reality. You're listening right now. You're listening because the show is compelling, involved radio that's difficult to tune away from. And if you're listening, so are your potential clients and customers. The only thing missing is your commercial calling our listeners to action. Dynamic, affordable growth for your company is a phone call away. 253-4883. When we answer...
Paytalk Radio.
Say...
Hi, I'd like to advertise...
We'll take it from there, and you'll love the results. Call Ktalk Radio right now. 253-4883.
We want to hear from you. Call 254-5855.
AM 630 Ktalk. Grab your phone and make the call. Drive Time Live with Mills Crenshaw.
523 in the Mountain West. Welcome back. It's Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show. And I welcome your calls, 254-5855. Caller, your first name, please.
Yeah, this is Carl.
Welcome, Carl.
Okay, I'm on the air. Okay, you know, in the last hour, I was listening to Mike make his usual predictions of the future. Now, you know, it reminds me back around 2000 when Mike predicted that Jesus would be returning that year, and Mike would be taken up to heaven in the rapture. Do you ever remember him talking about the rapture all the time?
No, I don't.
Well, anyway, that prediction certainly didn't turn out, although I wish he had gone to heaven. But in the first hour, I'm sorry I couldn't call in. I was busy, but I listened to bits and pieces of your guest talking about Book of Mormon geography as being in Central America. Is that correct? Am I stating that correctly?
No, he didn't say that. He talked about Book of Mormon genealogy and archaeology.
Yeah.
But he didn't make any claims as to the location.
Well, he was talking about the Mayans all the time. That would indicate to me that he was implying the Book of Mormon was in Central America. Is that correct?
No,
he wasn't implying that?
No, he didn't say that, and he didn't imply what he said. What he said.
So why was he talking about the Mayans and the Book of Mormon all the time? Why was he comparing one to the other if the Book of Mormon is not in Central America?
Gee, Carl, I didn't ask him that.
Okay, let me tell you what I have found. Joseph Smith said in 1835. Joseph Smith said to one of those witnesses that the last stand of the Nephites took place very close to Manchester, New York. That the Hill Cumorah, being close there, was the place where the Nephites were wiped out. And then in 1834, he was traveling with his wife, Emma, through Illinois, and he told her that all these burial mounds are where the Nephites are buried. So what he was saying was part of the Book of Mormon is in Illinois. And at other times, he stated that the Book of Mormon scenario is around the Great Lakes. So, why are Mormons these days going down to Central America to talk about the Book of Mormon and show them all these Mayan temples and so forth, when that is thousands of miles from what Joseph Smith said was the Book of Mormon scenario?
I have no idea, Carl. I don't lead any of those expeditions.
You've had John Sorensen on, who claims he has discovered that the Book of Mormon scenario is down in Central America near Guatemala and Mexico. And
hey, I have another friend, Martin Tanner, who thinks that he has identified where some of these locations are.
Yeah.
I make no such claims. I have no expertise in either archaeology or geography. But the fact that people speculate about historical locations, et cetera, does not mean that they are correct.
So Joseph Smith, who's talking directly to God, is mistaken on the scenario then?
I would be slow to make that kind of a statement.
So,
Carl,
well, you know, with all this controversy as to the geographical area of the Book of Mormon being such a controversy within the Mormon Church, how come the leadership doesn't directly go to Jesus Christ and ask him where the place is?
Because they're extremely busy doing what he has commanded them to do.
Taking money from the Mormons?
No. Spreading the gospel.
Yeah, and getting new converts to pay their tithing.
Which spreads the gospel, which is the intent.
Well, I think, the motive, that of Joseph Smith, was to get money out of people.
That's nonsense.
No.
In the first place, Carl, if you really understood the faith, I understand at one time you thought you were part of it, but you never understood it, because we have a leadership in the church, many of whom were extremely wealthy and gave all in their service to the church. They don't make money by serving the church.
That's your opinion. I think the facts speak otherwise. How much tithing money does the Mormon church take in on a yearly basis?
I don't know, and neither do you.
Well, I think there have been estimates of billions of dollars.
So what?
And how much of that do the Mormon church give to charity, and how much do they put in their own pocket?
They don't put any in their own pocket, Carl.
They only give 1% to charity, and they put
the rest
of it. That's
nonsense. That almost everything they do is charitable. They are the first responders when there are tragedies around in the world. And unlike the Red Cross, who pay the head of the Red Cross, I'm not sure whether it's $400,000 a year or $500,000 a year, but it's somewhere in that range. The leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are often totally self-supporting, and if they don't have that kind of personal wealth, they get a subsistence, but they don't pass away as rich men, and they spend their lives in service to others.
You're on a guessing game now.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, the reason the Mormon Church will not open up its financial books is because they don't want people to see how much they're putting into their own pocket.
No, it's to retain their total independence from government. They are a worldwide organization.
They're one of
those. They spend virtually everything they take in building chapels, in helping the poor, in educating the poor, in spreading the gospel throughout the world.
Well, I don't consider educating people in the Book of Mormon, to be just that. That's not an education. That's brainwashing. On the other hand, the figures
Carl,
I have...
your opinion and a quarter will buy six colored peanuts.
I'd rather have a good cup of coffee.
You can't buy it for a quarter anymore.
Well, you do if you buy it, like 2 pounds of, coffee grounds. Then
you can... Use coffee grounds? I guess you could get that for a quarter.
No, no. But the figures I have seen, and no one has ever challenged those, is that the amount they give to charity... that is excluding building ward houses where they reward their own favorites. But
they don't reward their own favorites. That's nonsense, Carl.
Yeah. What about
look, Carl? You're an educated man, so for you to spread this kind of violent, virulent propaganda is beneath you.
Well, their favorites include Mike Lee, Mike Leavitt, Orrin Hatch. Yeah, the Mormon Church made sure that they got into office.
That's nonsense. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there is no Mormon Church, by the way, which you know very well, under no circumstances have they ever encouraged their members to vote for a specific candidate. The only urging they do every time there's an election is for people to become actively involved in politics. And they do that so that the members of the church will be good citizens of the country in which they live.
Yeah, is that why we have a Mormon governor and 95% of the state legislature
now,
is Mormon?
Carl, you seem to forget that for many, many years we had either a non-Mormon or a Jack Mormon governor who was a Democrat. Have you forgotten that?
No, I've lived here off and on for the last 50 or so years.
Oh, so you did remember it, and you just didn't want to include that because it didn't perpetuate your propaganda.
I'm talking about the present time. And I've heard it firsthand that the Mormon Church has come out in favor of Orrin Hatch in the primaries and made sure...
That's not true.
Made sure that,
That's
Orrin Hatch was put in as the Republican candidate,
not
which automatically elected him.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yes, it is true.
It is not.
How do you know it isn't?
Because that's not the order of the church. It's not the way the church operates. As always, the only message that came from the hierarchy of the church before this election was that all of the saints should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and that as citizens that we needed to be politically involved.
Yeah, and
no designation about parties or candidates. Carl, I've given you more.
Let me finish with this statement, okay?
Finish.
Okay. I read that every law that is up for passage in the legislature is gone to a Mormon committee for approval. If they don't give their approval, the law is not passed.
Well, if you spend your life reading the funny papers, you can come up with all kinds of things. Hi, caller. Your first name, please. Tom. I'm sorry.
I was called by an ex-sheriff who was a former FEMA agent down to New Orleans to help them with their issue with the FEMA trailers. And it's interesting. I was only scheduled to go down there for 3 days, or at least I'd bought a ticket to fly down, testify, and come back. I ended up being asked to stay down there, and I ended up actually extending my time down there to a total of 7 weeks, you know, almost 2 months. And as I went from one community to the other, you know, at the request of these families, connecting them all, when they found out I was from Utah, it was the most, grateful experience I had with them, ingratiating. In other words, they were so grateful because they are so kind to me, because they automatically assumed I was LDS, and I am. But all of them reported to me that of all the agencies and all the nonprofits that responded with the greatest concern and the greatest efficiency was the LDS Church.
Yeah, and they don't ask people to pay for their coffee the way the Red Cross does.
And then, you know, because of that, I became noted, and so I was asked, actually, even before Hurricane Sandy touched shore, I was asked to help them with that issue there. And I worked with the Occupy Sandy group and some of the other nonprofits. But even Occupy Sandy, which is probably the most vigorous effort out in New York, New Jersey, they said that of all the other people that they had to interact with, they were the most pleased and impressed with the LDS Church. Where everybody else said, "Well, we're gonna come with this much." You know, food or water or blankets, whatever. You know, a lot of people committed to help the Occupy volunteers, but the one thing they found out is if the LDS Church was committed, it showed up. It happened. The Red Cross, forget it. You know, so it just kind of does disturb me when people try to badmouth it with the Mormon Church. And of course, you know, I've lived very close the leadership, and I'm sorry, but they're not wealthy men, and if they have wealth, it's because they've operated their businesses before they were asked to become leaders.
That's correct. Men like Mitt Romney, when he became a bishop and then a stake president, he helped people many times out of his own pocket. And, of course, he was paid zip, nothing, nada, zero, for all of the multitude of hours that he put in as both a bishop and as a stake president.
I think he should apply to be the director of the Red Cross.
Yeah.
I think we should all apply, you know. I mean, I don't know where, is it Carl that was talking to you just a moment ago?
Yes.
I feel sad that he has this just black attitude towards LDS.
Well,
but I understand it because I've been living here and I've been treated very badly by some of my supposed brethren. But on the other hand, I know the gospel.
Well, here's the problem. I don't care if it's a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Baptist or a Mormon. Those people who apostatize from their churches invariably become very bitter and very anti.
Well, you know, I grew up with prophets sitting in my home. Even got a spanking from President McCabe, which is quite a great honor for a young man. I was chasing around the table. I was chasing his son, David Lawrence, around. And David was faster than I was, and we were both irritating these gentlemen that were trying to figure out issues here in Davis County. So, you know, I understand the interior workings of the church, and because of that, I don't care what anybody else does to me or says to me, they cannot shake my knowledge and my testimony.
Well, I applaud you for the work that you did in New Orleans, and I hope that eventually something good will come of it.
Well, they did get a win in the court. So a child that was killed by FEMA in one of those units is, are you ready for this? They're worth $105.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Not kidding. That's how pathetic it is.
And that's insane.
Someday you need to bring my dear friend Jesse Finneran on and interview him about that experience. He's been working on the BP issue and the subsequent problems that are going on down there still.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Gotta fly.
All right.
254-5855. We will be back with another major scandal right after this.
$3 Carpet and Draper is now hiring salespeople to offer our unique line of high-quality carpeting at very low prices. Most of our carpet comes from large, high-end trade shows and conventions and would normally sell for around $12 per yard. But we offer it back to the public starting at only $3 per yard. Our conventions held around the country use new carpet for each show. And after only 2 days of use, we roll up this beautiful, never-stretch carpet and offer it back to the public at drastically reduced prices. We offer great selection, and our customers love us. We offer sales and lead support with very generous commissions. Go to $3carpet.com and call us at 888-968-1913. That's 888-968-1913. You can work full or part-time to be part of our exciting ground floor opportunity. Call 888-968-1913 Monday through Friday or go to $3carpet.com. That's $3carpet.com. Good selling.
Why does business manager Mike Davis stay at La Quinta Inns and Suites? Because only with La Quinta's instant hold can Mike reserve a room at the last minute with just one finger and his phone number. And the next day during his business review, you know what he does?
Ladies and gentlemen, the stylings of Mike Davis.
Sales forecast for this quarter look good. Up 20% like you knew that they would.
He gets everyone jazzed up. La Quinta takes care of you so you can take care of business. Instant hold at LQ.com today.
You're wearing top-of-the-line boots to hike the scenic Rockies, but you're still wearing your indoor eyeglasses in the glare of the sun?
What's that, Mom?
What? Where?
Next time, experience Experio UV, superior polarized sun lenses, and experience the difference.
Look, Katie, an eagle.
They eliminate 100% of blinding reflective glare and offer ESPF 50+, the maximum UV protection available. Ask your eye care professional about Experio UV, superior polarized sun lenses, in your prescription. For the best vision under the sun.
I am the port in the storm.
I am the line in the sand.
I am the rescuer in the dark.
I am the enforcer of the seas.
I am the defender of the homeland.
In the United States Coast Guard and Coast Guard Reserve, you are the first line of defense against threats to our American way of life. To become one of us, call 1-877-NOW-USCG or visit GoCoastGuard.com.
We are the shield of freedom. We are the United States Coast Guard.
Sponsored by the U.S. Coast Guard in cooperation with the Utah Broadcasters Association and this station.
At home, at work, and in the car. AM 630, K-Talk.
AM 630, K-Talk, the voice of Utah. Drive Time Live with Mills Crenshaw.
Welcome back. You're listening to Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show on K-Talk, and I appreciate your being there on this Memorial Day. We still have enough time to get in a couple of phone calls, and if you would like to make a statement, welcome your calls, 254-5855. Now, one of the things that I started to say, and then I deferred to the callers, was the fact that, well, once again, callers are coming in, so you have first call. Hi, caller, your first name.
Hi, Mills. This is Bonnie.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you. You can't confuse people with their minds made up, you know?
Oh, of course not.
Anyway, I was thinking about these things online that you sign for, like, all that program you've got on.
Oh, the Citizens of the Republic?
Yeah, Citizens of the Republic. It makes me kind of nervous to sign on for those things.
We do not give that information to anyone.
Yeah. Well, you wonder if there's going to be men pulling up in front of your house in black vans.
I understand, but they do not have access to that information. We do not give it to anyone.
Yeah, and my goodness, this big complex that's going out by Bluffdale, it's nothing more than to spy on everybody, their phone calls and their internet. They're spying on the internet of people.
I do understand, and that is of deep concern to a lot of us.
Yes, it is. That's some scary stuff. But, well, anyway, I appreciate your program.
Well, Bonnie, I appreciate your calling, and hopefully within a few days I will be seeing you as we deliver the rounds.
Oh, great. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 254-5855 is the number. Yeah, look, we formed Citizens of the Republic to fight for constitutional principles. Not a political party. We couldn't care less about what political party anyone belongs to. As a matter of fact, what we're after is to get citizens of this republic to band together to fight for people who understand the Constitution and are willing themselves to fight for it. And if that means electing somebody, I don't care if they're independent or Republican or a Democrat or a hooligan. If they love the Constitution, they understand how important it is, and they're willing to pledge themselves to fight for the Constitution, then those are the kind of people that we need to support and encourage. Because political parties don't protect us. Even the fact that we are a republic will not protect us. My gosh, Russia was a republic. And there are countless republics across this land who terrorize and tyrannize their people. It is only the Constitution that keeps us safe. And we dare not forget that. And Citizens of the Republic is not a political party. It is an educational, social organization to promote understanding and adherence to the Constitution of the United States. Okay, in the few minutes we have remaining, I mentioned that there are still ugly things going on in the world. This story is from Oregon, and it demonstrates the kind of problems that still confront us, unfortunately. And the only reason you haven't heard about it is that authorities were able to capture this person before they did something evil. And it is indicative of the kind of problems that exist, that they were able to get this young person and they were able to stop him from harming other people. I'm going to play for you a news account so that you'll know what I am referring to. This is local news from KATU in Oregon. And we'll share that with you.
A plan to use explosive devices and firearms to carry out a plan specifically modeled after the Columbine shootings.
Prosecutors plan to charge this Oregon high school student with attempted aggravated murder. They say he concealed homemade bombs in a hiding space in his bedroom. Good evening to you. I'm Anna Canzano. The Benton County District Attorney laid out that disturbing new information tonight about this alleged attack plan. K2's Bob High is live in Albany outside West Albany High School, and prosecutors say that was Grant Accord's target. Bob, you talked with a student who spoke to that suspect just hours before he was arrested.
That's right, Anna. Very disturbing stuff. She's glad someone came forward. She's heard about the half dozen bombs the police found, and she's glad someone came forward to turn in Grant Accord. Authorities say there's evidence Accord spent a lot of time planning his attack, but they aren't saying yet just how close he was to carrying it out.
They take what's in here.
Police found a total of six bombs, including pipe bombs, napalm bombs, Molotov cocktails, even a bomb made from drain cleaner in a secret compartment in the floor of Grant Accord's bedroom inside the home he shares with his mother.
This is a case of a planned assault on a target-rich environment. The accused intended, planned, and took substantial steps towards carrying out a deadly assault against the occupants of West Albany High School.
Grant Accord is a junior at West Albany High. The district attorney says Accord's plan was inspired by the attack on Columbine High School, only designed to be even deadlier.
That includes preparation. That includes a written plan. That includes a diagram of the school. That includes all sorts of checklists, including a list of items that are needed to be able to execute this.
Prosecutors say the only motive they've found for the plan so far, the thrill of seeing people die. We didn't find anyone home at Grant Accord's mother's house in Albany. At his father's home not far away, a woman answered the door.
I appreciate you coming out and reaching out to us, but we have no comment.
Holly Coltvet says she just talked with Grant Accord on Tuesday.
The day he was arrested?
Mm-hmm. I talked to him earlier and nothing was wrong. He was happy, just like he was going to go on with the day.
Holly doesn't know who called 911 to let people know Accord might be making bombs to use against her school, but she's glad they did.
I'm super thankful for him because that's the reason why we're with our families today.
Police searched West Albany High School here twice and never found any bombs at this site. School is scheduled to open as scheduled on Tuesday after the holiday, the same day Grant Accord is scheduled to make his first appearance on attempted aggravated murder charges. Live in Albany, Bob High, K2.
Yeah, that's tragic. 17-year-old boy, his life is done. He's destroyed his future. But think of what he did to his mother. She has lost her son. Her future, her world has come crashing down as well. There are, unfortunately, a lot of people in this world who are misguided and worse. There is a Turkish official who is speaking out. Hezbollah, of course, is responsible for a lot of the violence in the world. And they're starting to get criticism throughout the Muslim world because of their concerted effort at bolstering Syria President Bashar Assad. Can you? This is one of the things that's hard to fathom. Hezbollah is behind Assad, which puts them in the camp of Iran. And Egypt has been paying lip service to Iran, and they are run by the Muslim Brotherhood. And so we have Hezbollah, which is a Muslim terrorist organization on one side of that battle, and then we have the Muslim Brotherhood and the faction of Al-Qaeda on the other side. It's schizophrenic, but it demonstrates the dangers that we're in this world. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to have lots and lots of different things to discuss. I appreciate the fact that you're with us almost every day. And I hope that you will continue and that you will not hesitate to speak out when you feel strongly about some of the issues that we talk about. Because right now we are on the ragged edge. One of the things that I was fascinated by is today and yesterday and the day before watching the old World War II movies. Yeah, some of them were propaganda films. Some of them were pretty obvious that way. But in retrospect, when we know the outcome and we look back at who we were and what we did, you have to think why. So much of this was obvious. We could see what was coming. Why didn't our officials do something? And it's happening again. And once again, you have to ask, why? Why are these people so blind to what's going on in the world? And what can we do to change that? And we certainly can't change anything by sticking our head under the blankets and pretending that nothing is going on. Because, as we saw during the Second World War, that leads to death and destruction. And all of the signs and symptoms are there again. We don't dare be idle. We don't dare just stand off to the side and become victims. We've got to be involved. And it doesn't mean with a given political party or anything of that nature. It means that we have got to know and understand what our rights are as free citizens of, at least for now, a free land. But if we don't do something, if we don't get engaged, if we don't prepare, if we don't fight to preserve those liberties, it will not continue to be a free land. One man's opinion. And I always welcome yours, and we'll get after that again tomorrow. Stay tuned. Kyle 2K next. This is Drive Time Live, the Mills Crenshaw Show, and I appreciate your sharing part of your holiday with me. Don't forget those who've paid the ultimate price. That's what this vacation is really about. It's not just party time. It's a memoriam for those who paid the ultimate price for our liberty. Talk with you again tomorrow.
This is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops. It's here, our Ultra